Blog Talk Radio.
ETK on the spot.
You love my man.
Oh,
real life,
yeah.
My man. Real talk, my man. Real life, my man.
You tuned in to Real Talk, Real Life with Emma E2K on the spot. And this is only for the Roman sexy, baby. Mwah.
E2K, and it's official. It is Saturday, and we on, ready to pop it off. Our sponsors for today are Team Studios. Team Studios is located at 752 East 137th Street. That's Bronx, New York, 10454. It's between Bruckner Boulevard and Willow. Make sure you follow them at Twitter at Team EMP and the number one. They're also on Facebook. They're Googleable. Make sure you Google them. Team Studios hours are $30 an hour, and after 4 hours, they bring it down to $25 an hour. So make sure you check them out. Their website is www.teamentertainmentent.net. Thank you. I want to shout out Barbara from Macy's on Roosevelt Boulevard in Philly. She helped me out when I was shopping over there the other day. Shout out to all the Philly DJ Coalition. Shout out to Benny from the Sprint store on Buckleton Avenue. Good looking for the, you know, helping me out with the new phone and stuff like that. Make sure you call in 347-826-7722. Also want to shout out John and Chief from Best Buy on Roosevelt Boulevard. You know, I was out there shopping hard in Philly, so shout out to them. Also, I want to remind everybody, Erica Roman's celebrity baseball game, it was supposed to be last Tuesday. They had a rain date for this Tuesday, which is the 31st. Still, same location, which is on Castle Hill, where you the baseball field in Zariga. So make sure you make it, support the cause. There's going to be like a whole list of celebrities. Sal from Fever Records had called in last week to let us know, you know, about the event. But Tuesday they canceled it, you know, due to rain. Also, last Tuesday, shout out to Maddie and Jose. They made 22 years. Yeah, 22, girl. I'm just going to leave it at that. Anyway, tomorrow they're going to have the PR Festival sponsored by TD Bank in Paterson, New Jersey, at the Roberto Clemente on Market and 27th Street. So make sure you go out there. We're also going to have Team Studios' very own Eddie L. Ness that will be performing at 6 p.m., followed by Bronx own 950 Plus will be performing around 6:15 p.m. But don't call me at the exact time because you know people never do the right time. But just try to be there. It starts at 12 in the afternoon. They're having, lots of people out there performing. So shout out to, you know, to Jersey. Shout out to Paterson. They're going to be doing their thing out there tomorrow. It's a three-day festival. It actually started yesterday, and it ends tomorrow. Also, I want to give a shout out to Lushy Lush. She's here, all the way from Maryland. Lushy Lush is in the building. And I got my Rose E2K on the board. So shout out to them. You know, that's how we're doing it. Shout out also to Alex from Team Entertainment that's here. I don't know why he's here, but he's here. Shout out to him. He's hanging out tonight, doing the comedy, you know, the comedy stuff and all that. I want to also shout out the original Cinderella that was here yesterday, man. She came through. Good-looking JC, it's a she thing for that. She brought her through, and, her and Lush chopped it up. Make sure you, you know, go on the archives and check that out. Now, going straight to the topic, today's topic is, it ain't tricking if you got it. That's something that, you know, there's a lot of songs that have that, you know, that bring out that statement. And it makes you wonder, it makes you think, and of course it makes you talk. So, you know, I have to, you know, touch the topic when that happens. So it ain't tricking if you got it. All right. So that means if you're making $200 a week, right? Follow me, people. Follow me on Twitter, MLE2K. If you're making $200 a week and the Gucci bag costs $800, right? There's 4 weeks in the month, right? And you want to go buy the bag. Now, once you buy the bag, you say, oh, it ain't nothing. You know what I'm saying? I'm just tricking. Let's do the math, people. And for those that don't, again, I'm going to say it. $200 a week, 4 weeks in a month, the bag costs $800. No, why did I say $800, right? Okay, that's what I'm saying. And then what happens to the rent? What happens to everything else? What happens to the food? What happens to the pamphlets? Okay. So the point is, if you ain't got it, then you know, don't try to act like you could just, like if you could spend it like that. You know, and there's nothing wrong. Listen, let me, you know, go back. There's nothing wrong with making $200 a week if you can be able to meet all your needs. And if you're going to buy a bag that costs $100 or even $50 because you're making $200 a week, you know? So then that's cool. And if you got it, then, you know, then you could trick. I mean, you know, make $200 a week, you spend $50 on a bag, yo, you tricked it. That's fine. You're making $200. But to buy something that's way more than that, it makes no sense. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't got it. So I want to go into a song that has, you know, this statement, which is, you know, it ain't tricking if you got it, because there's so many songs that are out there that, you know, have this statement. So we're going to go in and hopefully get the song, because I did ask for it before the show and it's what happened. So let's just go into any song. How about that? Can you just give me a song so I can get a break with some lipstick on them? Thanks. Appreciate it. Real talk, we're up here, Team Studios Live, it's Saturday, and after I finish out of here, I'm going on my way. It's Saturday, Rosé, can you get some play? Do I need a DJ? Shout out to the Skinny DJ Coalition, man. Shout out to Strictly Funk One. Shout out to Roulette. Shout out to the Street Queen. Man, Street Queen's a movement. We're doing it big everywhere we go. JC, I see you today at SoFest. I'm going over there. We're all going to stop by. You can on the spot. We'll be at SoFest tonight. Doing it really big. I heard they got, like, a lot of balloons. Let me put this music so I can put on the lipstick and put the lip gloss. It's popping. And continue with us. Thank you, guys.
Drop, drop, girl, pop, let it go. Put your back against to it. show, cause I think that you're beauty, and it's all cause of your booty, so just keep it moving, bring it to me. See, I wanna see you drive through, till you hit the spot, don't stop, then we'll have a couple drinks on the ride. We can start off with a spade and a bottle of rosé, and baby, if it's okay, I'll hit you with that foreplay.
If you got it, you know, sometimes, you know, guys be like, oh, I'm not tricking, you know, I don't trick on a female or whatever, but, you know, you take her out, you get her nails done, her hair done, you know, little outfit and stuff, or maybe a little perfume, something, whatever. That's tricking, boo-boo. that's tricking. But doesn't mean, like, you know, like tricking in a negative way, but it's tricking, you know, because you got it. It ain't tricking, rather, if you got it. Now, if you don't have it, it's tricking. Let me go into the calls. Make sure that you call in 347-826-7722. You know, that's what happens when you have pina coladas before the show. 202, Genius. Is that Genius?
Quang.
202-M-A-2-K.
What's going on, Quang?
Hey, peace, King.
Just figure I'd call in and show my support.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I so appreciate it. Because I know you're, like, busy, but you're fast. Because, like, you know, you do my website, like, in 2.0 seconds. make sure, are you, by the way, are you on, you online? I mean, are you on by the computer and stuff?
Yeah, I'm online right now.
So make sure you retweet and tweet and follow me to all the people, Emma E2K, E2K underscore magazine, man. I'm trying to get to 1,000 for Emma E2K. You know, can I get some love? Can I just get some love? That's all I'm saying. Also, if you're on the, are you online, make sure you check out my Facebook, which is Facebook.com/Emma E2K, and check out the Cedric the Entertainer video that we have posted up there from that from the 21st, which was last Saturday, when he was on there, and I heard that, you know, was off the hook. I had people call in. There was guests that had won some tickets, and that was sponsored by Underbox Entertainment and SoulSummer.com. And I heard it was off the hook over there. Shout out to Click Click Photo Lab that went over there and got me some exclusive footage and some exclusive photos that hopefully we'll put up soon. Also, shout out again to yesterday. We had the original of Cinderella. She was here. And did you get to hear that the interview yesterday?
I caught a portion of it.
Yeah, she's not only she's beautiful and talented, but you know, she's a triple threat. She's a triple threat. She's about to open up for Jay-Z in September, and you know, Lush Radio, we can't stop. We up in there, man. We up in there to witness history. So throw your diamonds up. You know, we're about to be up in there. That's gonna be hot. Also, tonight we're having Divine from the famous group The Day. We're also going to have La Bruja, and we have Ivan Zach Rodriguez, the producer. And shortly, they're all coming in the building, and pretty soon we'll be able to sit down with them and chop it up with them and see what's going on with them in their lives and see what they have to say about my topic today, which is if it ain't tricking, if it ain't tricking, if you got it. Now, what do you think about that, genius? If you got it. What do you think of that statement alone? Because you know that statement alone has been in like numerous of songs. Like almost every other song that comes out, it's kind of like they use that line.
Yeah, I would say this. I mean, I think it depends on your perspective of what you view it as. You know, I mean, a lot of people who say they don't do it if you're looking at it from that standpoint of tricking. Me personally, I don't even label it as such, so I don't classify myself in that category, but I mean, to entertain it, you know, they say that if you got it, then it ain't tricking. If you don't have it, then it is tricking.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, okay, you know, if you're living on a budget, and then you go run out and, you know, and let's say you go pop bottles in a club, and now you don't spend your rent money, that's tricking because you ain't got it.
Yeah.
You know, you spent the rent money, and now you have to be able to come up with the rent money. Now, if you can go and pop bottles and still pay your rent and none of that hurts you, then it ain't tricking. Am I correct to say that?
Yeah, you're definitely right there. You're definitely right. And people do that, oh, man, almost every day. You'd be out at the club blowing money, knowing they got to pay bills and everything, but they're out there partying and popping bottles.
And I'm just wondering, do at the end of the night, do they collect those bottles and all that and then to cash them in when their ass is homeless?
I don't think so.
It's crazy, though. It's crazy. Just the concept alone. So people that feel offended about, oh, I ain't no trick, or whatever, we just try to break it down and explain the definition of what that statement means, which is it is not tricking if you got it. If you have it to spend it, and it doesn't hurt you, and it's not like you are living, you know, beyond your means, then it's not tricking. You just living. You're doing you. You're balling. I guess that jumps out to the other word, right? Balling.
Yeah.
You balling or you living or, you know, that's your status or whatever. But if you ain't got it, and come on, and y'all know who I'm talking about. Y'all know out there who I'm talking about. You know, y'all shining out there in front of all these people and taking the photos with, you know, celebrities that you claim are your people, and, you know, all that other craziness. And then you go home to the wife, and, you know, she's breaking on you about, are you serious, y'all? You didn't even bring in milk, and tomorrow we got to pay rent, and you talk about you ain't got it? He was tricking. Now that's tricking, you know? That's heavy tricking.
Man, I call it stupid.
Do you have any friends that trick, genius? You have any friends that trick?
I mean, I try not to deal with too many people like that, but I think we all got people who do those types of things. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's really an irresponsibility, and there's a lot of irresponsible people out there that, you know, do those types of things. Me personally, I think about tomorrow. I don't live for today. You know, why sit there and blow everything today and be broke tomorrow? I'm trying to live right in my golden years, so I can't blow money today. You know, and leave a foundation for the seed, so I got to think smart. But, yeah, I do. I had a few friends who, you know, even though you try to advise them, they want to go out and have that keep up with the Joneses mentality where they want to ball and party knowing they really can't afford it, but they still do it, you know. It's like society has, you know, embraced, you know, that flashy show-and-tell lifestyle, which I think, I mean, personally, I think it's stupid because at the end of the day, we're not moving forward. We're not progressing when we're living like that.
Right. Do you think that would be like an age thing, though? Like, you know, like when you're young, whatever, naive, you know, you ain't thinking about that. You ain't thinking about no
You would think that, but, I mean, you got a lot of older people with young mentality. So, you know, I don't think it's an age thing anymore because I know people who are well up in the numbers and they still do a lot of those things. And, you know, I think it's more so about maturity as opposed to, you know, an age thing. Yeah, because it's like if you the type of person who, you know, values things and had the right moral standing, then, you know, you're going to do things in an ethical fashion. But when you don't, I mean, you're going to do the most ethical things. You're going to go to the club and, you know, buy bottles of Patron and blow everything knowing you got to pay your rent tomorrow.
No, you're absolutely right. Let me bring in another caller, 908. You're on with ME2K. With you talk, and the topic is, it ain't tricking if you got it. What do you think about that statement?
What's up, Emma? This is your girl, Diva Mary Kay. What's going on?
Hey, lady. What's going on?
Nothing. How you doing? I just tuned in to your show, and I want to comment on the topic, ain't tricking if you got it.
Absolutely, Mama. Come on. Let's go in.
Well, yeah, it ain't tricking if you got it. I honestly feel like it is true. If you got it to do, then it's really not tricking because if you look at it either way, even if you pay for a dinner or a hot dog, you still pay for something, and it's vice versa, men or women. It ain't tricking if you got it, but the brother made a good point is, you know, you got some people that's grown and act like children, and they got to pay their rent next day. If you got it, then you'll be able to keep things in perspective, but don't go balling and trying to live without your means and you ain't got it.
Absolutely. Let me ask you a question, Diva. Could a girl be a female be considered a trick?
Yeah.
Can a female be a trick?
Yeah, a female can be a trick.
Okay. Because sometimes, you know, the statement that you use, which is it ain't tricking if you got it, usually refers to like male. So I'm just, you know, just I put the question out there. You know, could a girl also be a trick? Can a female be a trick?
Well, you're right about that. Usually they say it's a male, but just like you got male ballers, you got female ballers too. And it's the same behavior. It's the same attitude. You got you some money. You done worked hard for whatever the case may be. Now you can do the things that you always do, that you always wanted to do, or now you feel like you're in a position of power. So you can have that confidence and that cockiness about yourself, be like, it ain't nothing. I can buy old boy and get him to do what I want him to do or take him wherever I want to go, and then that's it. So I my opinion, I feel like it can either be either way. It's just the person who is more established, they feel like it ain't tricking if you got it. But it's still a waste of time. Why would you be going through multiple people and spending unnecessary money when you can be using it to stack and do something bigger for your better yourself? It's the ego. That's what I think, it's the ego.
Right. Now, let me ask you another one, in your, staying in the topic. How much, how much do you think you have to spend for it to be considered tricking? Like, is it, like, is there a certain amount where now that requires tricking? Because if you go buy somebody a bag of chips or lollipop or something, is that still considered tricking as opposed to, you know,
tricking
and all that in the hundreds or the thousands?
Well, I would look at it like this. Anytime, anytime you and the other person come to an agreement and say, look, I want something from you, you want something from me. If a male or a female approach a person about some sex and the person be like, well, you got to give me this. If they want a bag of potato chips, then give them a bag of potato chips. It's dumb to do so, but if it's an agreement for anything in exchange for sex, it's tricking. If it's cars, houses, jewelry, spots on the show, a job, that's tricking.
So all the men that have mistresses because they have to upkeep their mistress and buy them all the stuff they ask for are tricked.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you heard it here. Real talk. Genius, I'm not going to leave you behind because I don't want people to be like, uh-oh, here they go, women bashing. Genius, you know, we want to hear what you got to say. Could a girl be also considered a trick? And how much you have to spend in order for it to be considered tricking?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't think it's just one gender. I think it's both genders. And I think any time there's a monetary value or something, then it could be considered that. So, you know, whether it's 1 cent or whether it's $1,000, it's still tricky. Anything else other than that will be an excuse. So, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it's all the same.
I'm tag teaming my co-host. Look, tag, go. Okay, tag, I'm jumping in, okay? I'm going to rebuttal on that. Why they got to be ghosted, you know what I'm saying, Gene? Why they can't just like nice things, you know what I'm saying? Why we got to tell them what we're supposed to do, I'm saying? Why they got to be ghosted? That's all I'm saying. What's really good? Ladies, call in at 347-836-7722 and tell us, you know what I'm saying, why do we got to deal with the folks? Why we can't, you know, when we were raised, I'm saying, you want to aim for nice things, just like God want to aim for nice things. You want to do the job and stuff. She might have some extra money. And she's tricking. And you want to check it. And you want to check it. And you got a trick on you. So what's up? But see, if you broke and you spending your last the trick, then problem.
Right.
Then you got to trick your problem. But you ain't tricking. It's called tricking rehab. It's called tricking rehab.
For real.
It's called going into tricking rehab. Recession. That's what the recession does. It makes you go to tricking rehab. Diva.
Depressing.
Any activities and any parties? Anything we should be looking out for? Your website? Holla at me. Tell me about your stuff, man. Diva, Mary, did I lose you? Genius?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, Mary's gone. Okay. All right. Well, the question was directed to her, but she's gone. So, can I get another break? I want some of a drink.
Yeah,
you want to get another break? I'm thirsty. My throat is parched. I'm going to trick on some bottled water. Let's go into T.I. and let's see what T.I. got to say about the matter, about it ain't tricking if you got it. We should have T.I., not in the building, but T.I.'s music talking about it ain't tricking. Here we go. I'm setting it up again.
Here we go.
It ain't tricking. Genius, you see what I'm going through? See what I'm saying? Genius. And let's go into another song because T.I. is not around.
Push, roll, glass full, I prefer the better things. Niggas with no money act like money isn't everything. I'm having a good time, they just tryna ruin it. Shout out to the fact that I'm the youngest nigga doing it. Cap on, brim, bent, Denzel, air time. She ain't tryna pop that shit for pimp, okay, well, never mind. I tried to soldier Drizzy still ain't nothing nice. Bracer saying you should quit. Card saying fuck your life. Okay, now we out of here. Toodles to you bitches. And if you dolled up, I got the voodoo for you bitches. Yeah, I'm busy getting rich. I don't want trouble. I made enough for two niggas, boy, stunt double. Famous like a drug that I'm taking too much of. But I never ever trip, just peace, happiness, and love. I got money in these jeans, so they fit me kinda snug. Plus the game is in my pocket, nigga, this is what I do. I'm about whatever, man. Fuck what they be talking about. Their opinion doesn't count. We the only thing that matters, oh. So we do it how we do it. All up in the face, man, I hate to put you through it. I be up all night, whole crew's in here. Cause I don't really know who I'ma lose this year, oh. Man, I love my team, man, I love my team. I would die for them niggas, oh.
Hitter. I got that kind of money, make a broke bitch bitter. I got that kind of, wait, fixate. Which bitch you know made a million off a mixtape? That was just a cheapskate. Was the president, the Louis presidential briefcase. Never been the cheapskate. We got the Hawks, I ain't talking about the peach state. Man, for Pete's sake, that's the sweet state. Fuck, I look like ho. I look like yes, and you look like no. I'm doing donuts in a 6-speed. M6 is from the M2. I see a lot of rap bitches on the menu. But I collect 100,000 at the venue. And pop bottles with my team. Young money to the
drop. I'm about whatever, man. Fuck what they be talking about. They opinion doesn't count. We the only thing that matters, oh. So we do it how we do it. All up in the face, man. I hate to put you through it. I be up all night, whole crew's in. I'ma lose this year, oh, man, I love my team, man, I love my team, I would die for them niggas, oh.
I mean, we can't even rock them shoes if we don't got a comma on the price tag, you know, I mean, but then again, who looked at the price tag, you know?
Oh, yeah, we in this bitch. I'm about whatever, man. Fuck what they be talking about. Their opinion doesn't count. We the only thing that matters, oh. So we do it how we do it. All up in the face, man. I hate to put you through it. I be up all night, whole crew's in here. I don't really know who I'ma lose this year, oh. Man, I love my team, man, I love my team. I would die for them. I'm about whatever, man. Fuck what they be talking about.
Prince,
Deuce to God, now 50 plus.
And no matter where we at, you can get it on the spot like E2K.
Real talk, real life.
Cougar.
Gone.
Yeah, now 50 already know, man. They already know about the Cougarism and the Cougar's Lair. They've been here. Shout out to now 50 that's performing tomorrow at that Puerto Rican festival in Patterson, New Jersey. And that's at the Roberto Clemente Park on Market and 27th Street. And that starts at 12 p.m. That's sponsored by TD Bank. Also, Eddie Ness will be there from Team Entertainment. So make sure you check them out because they definitely know how to rock the stage and make sure you support them. Don't forget to go on my Facebook, Facebook.com/MA2K. It was the Pina Coladas again kicking in. So you can see the 7-day entertainer video that we have posted up there, sponsored by ClickClick Photo Lab. It went down last week. Shout out to Under Rock Entertainment and SoulSummer.com for providing that. Tonight, again, we're having our guests are Divine from the Day, La Bruja, and Ivan Doc Rodriguez, our producer. So we're going to be talking to one of them shortly. I'm not going to tell you which one just yet. Everybody, you know, I like to do things like that. I want to go back into my topic, which is it ain't tricking if you got it. Is Jeannie still there rocking with me? Jeannie, you still there rocking with me? Shout out to Genius. Genius Music. Make sure you follow him. Genius on Twitter. He's one of our retweets and I'm definitely a huge, huge supporter of the Lush Radio Show and the E2K on the Spot Show. And he also does websites and stuff like that. So holla at him if you need any that stuff. Genius, are you on the line? You with me?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, I'll just talk. So, okay, let's go back to my topic, my hot topic. Now, did we discuss about a certain amount to spend to be considered tricking? Did you talk about it? I think it was this Ms. Diva that was talking about it, Ms. Mary Kay.
Yeah, I don't think there's a limit. I mean, tricking is tricking. I don't think you can place like a monetary value on it. You know what I'm saying? Anytime you're making any type of exchange, whether it's, you know, for money or for time or for anything, you know what I'm saying? I think it's looked at the same. There's really no difference. You know, anytime you're doing something to get something, I mean, it's tricking in a sense. So,
what about you're not doing it for anything? Let's say, you know, you're in the store and, you know, you buy somebody a lollipop. But you really didn't have it to buy it. But you bought it anyway.
And I would say that's bad tricking.
You would say go back to tricking school? Go back to the tricking academy? Wow. Okay. So please call in. Let me know what y'all think. 347-826-7722. Again, Senior Cloud is kicking in. How much you have to spend for it to be considered tricking? There has to be like a certain amount, maybe like in the hundreds, I guess. $20, $30, no, $20, $40 now with the economy and everybody losing their job is a lot of money. So I guess all that, okay, if you're spending more than your unemployment check, that's tricky. Right? Can you go with that? Look, what do you think?
I think so. You know, if you're spending more than your unemployment check, yeah, you're tricking.
Right?
If your debt broke the next week and you spend it all on tricking, yeah, you're tricking. You're tricking hard money. But if you was tricking and you got like a couple thousand, you still got a couple thousand left,
right.
And yeah, you got it. You can trick.
You got it. No, they're balling. No, it goes to balling.
It goes to balling. You're balling.
You're balling. Yeah, that baller status, like when they say, yo, we're doing this really big and we baller status, you have to be able to come out of there, done spend a couple of grand, and still continue on your day like nothing has hurt you. You know what I'm saying? That you still have, you know, some stacks. But you come out of there and you're crying and you're scared because now you don't want to go home because your wife going to slap you because you can't pay rent and you can't buy no passes. Nigga, use a trick and you need to be outside. You need to be outside the doghouse. That's what you need to be. You know? So, and what's up with these songs adding, you know, this one particular line, which is, it ain't tricking if you got it. Everything is, you know, T.I. has that song. It's like, you know, a couple of people out there. That don't hold me to everybody's name because I don't know, right? I just hear that part, that certain part. It's like, oh, I'm tricking, or he's tricking, or he was tricking. It ain't tricking if you got it. It's that trick word. Where does that word trick come from? Genius.
Originally, to be honest, tricking has changed. I mean, back in the day, tricking was basically going out and paying for services from a female. That's what tricking used to be, you know, and now they use it in so many different ways, like if you hook in your car, you getting your car tricked out. You know, it's like the way they change stuff nowadays is funny to me. You know, but I guess it's evolution. All things change in time. You know, but like I said, back in the day, that was a word that was just used for a man who was basically going out to solicit prostitutes, you know, back in the day. But, you know.
You do get, you know, it's like a sexual thing. As soon as you say, like, the word trick for some reason, it just comes, like, in your mind. Like, sex. I don't know, maybe to me. Am I the only one that thinks like that? Call it 347-826-7722. And we're talking about it ain't tricking if you got it. I'm going to keep on with the topic, and I'm going to put in already one of our guests that's been here patiently waiting, and we're going to bring him on, man, and chop it up with him and see what he's doing, but not until he touches on my topic. So please, everybody, welcome Ivan Dot Rodriguez.
Welcome.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Glad to see you here.
You
so what's up?
Chilling.
I'm so glad you made it, man. Okay, so you know we got to touch on the topic first before anything, so that's like a requirement. All right. So the topic is the statement. We're talking about the statement. It ain't tricking if you got it.
Right.
And then after that, I went on to ask, how much do you have to spend for it to be considered tricking?
I don't think it's expense. I think what you're doing with it. What are you doing to consider it tricking?
Right.
What's the purpose of whatever it is that they're doing? That's what I was asking when she mentioned it to me. Like,
what's the exchange?
Isn't there a catch to the tricking? Isn't that why you call it tricking? Because it's a catch. You're getting something from it.
Right.
Okay,
so even if you're in the club, half a bottle you're drinking,
right,
you're getting the buzz from it. Or you're getting the variety that everybody's like, oh, he's popping a bottle.
Just you to yourself. You're not trying to pick somebody up or something.
That's true.
That's
because,
my point.
Yeah, because if you're putting bottles on a table,
right,
you, what comes with that? Who starts lurking about?
Right.
Who starts lurking about? So, you know, it's a common fact. Because even with females are popping bottles, I've noticed, you know, the men will gather and, you know, kind of look as well.
I think probably when like what y'all said before, when you go home and you got no money in your pocket.
That's tricky.
You're crossing the line. If you're going in and no can't afford not even one bottle.
Right.
You definitely push it.
You have five cards. I could pull this from this one.
Right.
I could pull this much from that one. You know, the ATM, okay. Let me take 15 from here. Just about, that's tricking. You shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be doing that. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, why you can't buy 2 or 3 drinks?
There's
nothing wrong with drinks.
No, you
can buy, you know, if you see like a female that, you know, you kind of whatever, you can, listen, go to bottle, listen, you know, her next drink is on me.
True.
That's sexy too. It don't got to be like a whole bottle.
That's true.
And then you still, you know, remain, you know, like, okay, like, don't you want a drink or whatever.
Yeah, but see, there's brothers that can't, they don't have that gift of gab, so they have to drink and speak with them. They can't do one drink and win from there.
Right. Because after that one drink, they have to now
then you gotta
follow it up.
You gotta come back. And if you ain't got it,
might as well buy a bottle of drunk, and then you don't gotta talk.
drinking until something happens.
That's good about to go down.
That's it. Otherwise, you ain't getting nothing.
Oh, my Jesus. So genius has, I asked genius, like, where did the actual word trick come from? Can you, like, think back in your memory bank how far back that word trick has really been used and what it's been used for?
Back in the days, I think trick had to do with, like, prostitution you know, cheating on your man or being gay or something like that. Like, they considered you a trick if you were a dude, but you was under the, you know, table or whatever, in the closet.
Okay.
I mean, that's how I heard it growing up.
Right.
Now they may have changed it around, but most of the time it was just something that you shouldn't be doing.
Mm. Like,
and
so,
somebody's getting hurt, you know, wife or husband, somebody's getting hurt.
Right, and somebody's getting hurt to the point that maybe somebody will be doing play fight a lot if they, you know, act on the impulse.
That's right.
And we don't promote violence here, I'm just saying.
Right.
It's just reality, real talk. That's what we think. You know, that's what I would say.
What's the other tricking opinions that you
I got a couple of other, the whole, everybody kind of is agreement with that. You know, if you're spending beyond your means, then you're tricking.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what amount of money. Because it could be 100, but it also could be $40. So with the economy now, people not having that much money, if you're holding the $40 because it's got to hold you like a whole week, 2 weeks until you get the other check, and you go and spend it because, you know, shorty wanted a pair of sneakers.
Right.
Isn't that tricky?
But no, see, that's what I was saying in the beginning. If there's not a second person involved, like if I step out somewhere and I just want to drink because I feel like drinking, and I spend $100, $200, but it's just me sitting there, that's just me spending money. If there is no ulterior motive, I'm not.
Mm,
you know,
okay.
If
the
profiling
make
involved,
a good point,
when you're profiling, that's when it becomes tricky. Because you're profiling, you're trying to impress someone.
Lush. Why is it a topic?
No.
Because if you're not impressing nobody, it's like me drinking in the back room. Nobody can see me, so it's me spending my money. But if I'm trying to impress somebody that's in the room, and I'm like, shit, I can't afford this. I can't go this deep in my pocket.
Right.
And I go in, now I'm tricking.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why when I ask her, well, what do you exactly mean? Is it like if you're alone, it's you. You can,
wow.
You can have a drinking problem. It don't matter. That's you. But if you're trying to pick up or impress or something,
right.
Now you're
okay.
Caught up in that trick.
So that's chicken with a purpose.
That's chicken with a purpose.
But actually,
if he's doing it on his own, like you said, if he's spending that money just to drink,
he's
not paying attention to nobody, he's just there, having his drink on, that's not tricky.
Not unless it's like, you're supposed to send this money on your family or something, and you're not taking care of your wife and kids, that's different. But it's not like you said, let me come out here with the idea of, I'm going to pick someone up, I'm going to spend maybe up to 100, maybe a little more, you know, like you're going to try to impress somebody,
right.
Even though your pocket's empty.
But let me ask you something, Doc.
Yeah.
The question I'm going to ask you is like, okay, what if it's a dude, right?
Right.
He got his wife at home,
right.
And then he got his side chick,
mm-hmm.
But he's taking care of both of them.
He's tricking.
So what if he has a large amount of money, just, and he's taking care of both of them?
Just to ask his trick.
Oh.
Get the money.
The
access trick. Because he got a wife at home.
Wow. Okay.
And even about
the
money.
So it doesn't matter the amount of money you spend on chicken, just the
action.
I think if you start to get caught up in the amount of money, you're not a trick, you're a fool.
Ooh. He's talking to me about real talk. That's what I'm talking about, okay? Yeah, that's definitely what I'm talking about.
I mean, like that, you're a fool.
That's definitely what I'm talking about. All right, so let's detour from my topic.
All right.
Because I just love all your answers and you came in strong. I'm feeling that. I'm definitely feeling that. Let me introduce you to my audience. There's some audience members of mine that might not know who you are. I don't know why, but you know it happens. And so there's maybe young coming in and stuff because you've been in the game a long time.
Yep.
You know, not stressing the long. I'm not even going to say your age. But you've been at the time when, like, hip-hop, hip-hop coming in and the music.
Right.
Talk to me about your first encounter with the music industry.
Okay, I'll tell you briefly. Prior to anything having to do with hip-hop, I was just a DJ, street DJ. I grew up in Hell's Kitchen, and that was one of my avenues out. Because it was either that or you could lose your life with drugs. I grew up in a really tough area.
Mm.
And from DJing, I met a couple of kids on the street, and one of them would persist that I continued to play hip-hop. But it wasn't like now where you have these great guys coming in and coming off the head. You had kids that would just come into a party. You couldn't get the mic off of them. It would destroy the party. So I didn't even enjoy it.
Right.
But he, you know, he was one particular person. His name was Speedy. And he asked me can we make records? And I said, I'm not interested in making records. Then he never gave up, and one day he said, can you go to the studio with me? I told him, I don't know anything about studios. But he kept him persistent, so I said, okay, I will go to the studio with you.
Okay.
I went to Power Play Studios with him just to be there for support, and that's the very first day I met Spider D.
Well, Spider D.
Yeah, Spider D, Dwayne Hughes. If there was no Dwayne Hughes, I wouldn't exist.
Mm.
I've always said that. That's all over magazines and all. So by meeting him, I watched what he was doing in the studio, and I started to get kind of excited about what he was doing. And it made me figure, maybe this is something interesting. Within 10 days, I got a call at my crib, and it was Spider, which I didn't even know. And then he said, would you like to go on the road with me? And I said, shit, hell yeah.
Get out.
Yeah,
wow.
And then we went on the road. I came back. I started working with Sparky and him. And then between those two things, I decided to go to school at night. While I was on tour, I would not go to school. And we would come back on tour. I'd go to school 7 days a week, 5 days a week. And I finished school in a year, engineering school. And then my very first project, I Stand By Today, in my opinion, is the best album in history, Paid in Full and Criminal Minded.
Talk about it!
Those two are my albums. And
talk about it.
From there on, I began. But in between there, I was still doing Fooney G, Sparky D, Kumo D, Self-Destruction.
Wow.
I did all those records. So I actually came in on a real, real, real good spot because I got to hear Spoonie and work with Spoonie and all these guys are Latifah's crew, Juice crew, everybody. And then from there I went to EPMD, Harris One, Biz Markie, and from that point on I've been working, this is coming up on my 26th year.
Wow, 26?
Yep. got a lot of practice.
Yeah. You said he was also the engineer?
Yeah, I started as the engineer, but then unfortunately Scott LaRock got murdered.
Mm.
So right there, KRS asked me would I run in with him as a DJ, because I had the DJ background already.
Mm-hmm.
I said, great. So I would pick DJ. I would produce.
Okay, down production.
All of that. I would go on the road with him. We went around the world together, and it's been like a long ride that hasn't stopped yet.
Amazing. So 26 years, are you still as excited?
Oh, yeah.
From the beginning,
as
like now?
I was about to mention that Kari, I mean, Bruja's not here, but she was one of the ones that brought certain things back to me. Because I started work on her second album, which is the one she released.
Bruja-licious?
No, the second one, For Which It Stands.
For Which It Stands.
We did that out of my studio. And she's extremely talented.
I know.
Because I've worked with incredibly talented women, Sparky B, Queen Latifah, MC Light. As a matter of fact, the MC Light story is funny because Antoinette came into Power Play to record a song, which was dissing MC Light.
Mm.
Then a week later, MC Light came to Power Play and hired me to do the song dissing her.
Yeah.
So I was doing rock records against each other, Juice Crew versus BDP, and I was engineering all of them.
Oh, my God.
But, amongst all these women, Karis's wife, Miss Melody, a lot of very, very productive women. But for a minute, it fell a little. And then I met Bruja. And then I started to work with her. And I was involved a little bit in some of the music for her play that she just recently did.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, that was really nice. I was involved in the rehearsals and stuff and all. And I supported her ever since I met her, and she is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, she is.
I mean, overall actress, singer, poet, she's incredible.
She does it all.
Yeah, and she does
well. Show and well, exactly.
She does it very well.
She does like 5-6 characters.
Oh, yeah, in her play.
And does each character well.
Yeah, by herself.
Like, who does that?
I saw her when she rehearsed it.
She goes into each character.
She is the character. So she's very, very talented. Much more than people know.
Mm.
Much more. Her album is very diverse. It's different. It's not something you pick up at any store with just the same 10 songs as reggaeton or 10 songs. You know, she's got stuff that has like African roots and Latin roots.
Mm.
I knew
how people. She really went in.
I went to do a record release not too long ago. I was impressed. But she's amazing. She is amazing.
Now, did you and her both collabo into how the album was going to sound?
We began that way. We began, the second album, we began to do some work together. I know she was going through some personal changes with management or something, so that kind of messed up the schedule a bit. But we finished the majority of the album before I started to do something else and she went on and finished it.
Mm.
So we have incredible chemistry in the studio.
Oh, that's
yeah, cool. I can read what she thinks. We were flawless. There wasn't no headaches. Sometimes you have people who give you headaches.
Right.
No headaches.
Flawless. You mentioned one of the headache people.
Let me see.
One of those headache people, man.
I'm going to tell you somebody that was a headache, but it wasn't a headache because he was a difficult person. It was because he had his way. Redman. Redman was extremely talented. I think underrated. One of the better rappers. And I did most of his albums. His first three albums were mine.
Wow. Oh.
So he I did all the juice, all the Hit Squad and all that stuff, because they were all associated with BDP and EPMD. But Redman had this habit of reaching over my shoulder when the record was almost done. Tweaking. He would tweak something, which drives an engineer nuts. But he and I were like family, so he was like a pain in the ass like that. I'm like, chill. So what I would do with him was I knew he'd always do that. So before he reached over, I'd recall everything in the system. And he'd come over and go, okay, Doc, like that. And when he'd leave, I'd just hit a button and put it back. Because what they don't realize is that I have to make sure the stuff is technically sound. Because when it gets to mastering, if it's not sound, they'll crush it.
Mm, yeah.
A lot of hip-hop kids don't know. They just want you to blast them.
Right.
There's certain things you cannot do technically because it'll get crushed.
Right.
That when the CD comes out, even though you're the artist, I'm the engineer.
Right, exactly.
Or
don't be like, okay.
I don't want to look like, you know, foolish over that. So I would explain it. But there was one or two characters. There was a couple of characters that I worked with once and I refused to work with again.
Mm, okay, we don't leave that alone because...
I've been lucky.
What do you do in that situation like that? Like, not to mention names, but what do you do in a situation like that when you have, like, difficult artists that you work with or whatever? You just want to be like, get the
people. I have one artist that was well-known for being difficult in the Source magazine, things like that. I tried to work with him for a while. He was part of the crew. His crew was wonderful. They were all cool. There was something there about them not wanting to confront him with like, they were just chill.
What were you
saying? And he would start to beef with and give me a hard time. And I try to tell him, if you hire me, then you trust me. Otherwise, you're hiring me okey-doke.
Right. Then you could tell them, like, here, do this, do that, whatever.
The reason people hire me for projects is that they trust me with their career. Okay. I don't do singles. I do careers.
Mm.
I did 5 albums for EPMD. I did 3 for KRS. I mean, I lose track of them, but Biz Markie, biggest records of mine.
I hope y'all listening to the names, people. So, y'all listening, right? Okay.
You know, you trust me. If you don't trust me, I don't want your money. So he and I got to the point where instead of getting into some physical shit, I just threw the money at him, and I walked out of the studio.
Mm.
And like an hour later, the assistant came to see me in my crib, and he said, look, give me the money, because he said he wanted to thank you for it. And I said, no, give it to him. I really don't want anything to do with it.
Right.
It's not money. It's principle.
Right. Because everybody thinks it's about the money.
No, with me, it's been a principle from day one.
You know, and I think that's the difference between long-lasting,
you
just mentioned you have 26 years, long-lasting, then producers that come in and go, you're like, okay, he did one or two singles, and then you're like, what happened to the producer?
Yeah,
you're like, what happened to the producer?
5 or 6 years, they're gone.
Because they threw the money, and they're like, okay, let's do whatever. They don't have no principles. They're not even really respecting the music like you do.
It's just work. It's like it's a career, like I said, I DJed before the engineering for a while, and then one day I just said, it wasn't a challenge anymore, I stopped. Then I decided, instead of playing records, I wanted to make them. So that's what I've been doing.
Mm.
Once that gets boring, I'll stop that.
Did you ever consider rapping, you know, these producers?
I actually did.
Yes.
No, I actually did.
What is it about producers jumping into being rapping?
No, for me, it wasn't that way. For me, it wasn't that way, because I'm not a fun person.
Okay.
Because Spider and I are really, really close. Anything he wants, I'll do. I won't question. So one day in Power Play, he wrote a Christmas song. And Christmas songs were catchy, like Run DMC Day One, with the video. So Spider wrote a song, but Spider was on Profile Records, so he couldn't do the song. So I did the beat, and because LL Cool J and Rakim were hot at the time, I created a mashup, what they call mashups now. I did back then, so I did a beat that included Rockefeller. And I Know You Got Soul, but I redid the instrumentals from scratch, original.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote the rhyme, and he said, I need you to do it. So I did it for him. I thought it was kind of a joke, right?
Right.
I did it to my buddy.
Right.
And the record got on rotation within a week.
Wow.
And now it's just released on some Christmas CD as one of the best Christmas rhymes ever.
Wow.
And it's not my song. It's Spider's song, but I did the vocals.
Right. Wow.
But I wouldn't go on stage and... It's not my persona. I've gone on stage as a DJ,
right,
behind KRS, behind Just Dice, Tia Rock. You know, if they need me, I go on the road with them, but microphone, not for me.
No.
I mean, emergency, sure.
Right. You step to the plate, but it's not something that you're going to call.
Like I said, here's the story. Nobody knows, because we really didn't touch on it. And Ivan Sanchez and I discussed doing a book, so I've held a lot of stuff.
That's Ivan Sanchez.
But I've always been trusted by the people that hire me. When we did... Boogie Down Productions went into Madison Square Garden right after Scott LaRock died. We didn't want to go on the turntable, so we put 2 turntables up, and we put, like, pictures of Scott on the turntable.
Mm.
So I did the show onto a reel-to-reel. So, and back then, I had to cut with my hand, with a blade.
Wow.
It wasn't like a computer. You had to cut the tape
together.
So the reason these guys trusted me was no matter what the problems were, I could figure them out. So when we got to the stage... The guy that's carrying the reel-to-reel drops it, paying attention to some chick if he wants to give out a number. The guy screams, ladies and gentlemen, Boogie Down Productions. You see, and this is where I would always come into play. So when I saw that the killer and I lifted it, I saw the spindle popping. So I just told Chris, I called KRS Chris, let me get a quarter. And I popped out the tape. Then I held the little reel ran through a cat scan. So I held the cat scan down during the show. The tape ran to the floor, but the show happened.
Wow.
So see, that kind of stuff. That's the stuff that you don't... It's not,
that's some MacGyver stuff. That's some MacGyver stuff.
Okay. That kind of stuff I did.
Wow.
I introduced some stuff into music, like what got real famous was considered a double tap. A double tap was... something that was really prominent with EPMD, but I had been doing it prior because I would do it in what we used to call a pause button on a cassette deck. Like when you used to record into a cassette deck, there was a pause button. And before you couldn't loop in computers and stuff, you would do the pause button.
Mm.
You would loop the piece. So a double tap would be if the beat went like a straight kick snare, it'd be kick, kick, snare, kick, snare, kick, kick. So you double. melding to beat. So when you listen to EPMD, you'll hear the loops go. That stuff.
And that's
four
button.
No, that stuff I started doing way back then, and then when it became really popular, everyone else took credit for it. But that stuff, if you can be researching and you go back, you'll see that that's one of the things I did. Another thing I introduced heavily into hip hop was Panny.
Explain Panny.
Okay, most of hip hop stuff way, way back when was either what they call straight up the middle or hard right, hard left, meaning the music, it has no ambience. If you record a song in mono track and you do no panning at all, no left, no right, the music is monotone, it's up the middle. I started taking instruments, DJs, cuts, keyboards, over it, and panning them, meaning you can hear yourself on the left.
I hope everybody is having a pen and pad right here because y'all in school right now.
You can hear yourself on the left, you can hear yourself on the right. I started doing things with KRS where he would do something, and I said, Chris, I want you to do it again, but slightly off. So we first had to get that rapport where you trust me, because sometimes an artist won't trust you.
Right, they want to do
it. And I always tell them, you pay me to do this. I don't get paid to help you do everything else. I'm doing that because I care about your record.
Mm.
So he would say something and then repeat it. And I was panning a certain way. It was kind of like he was talking to him at first. So then from there, I took it to, for EPMD, I took it real big with DJ Scratch. If you listen to the classic EPMD album, when DJ Scratch cut, it sounds like it's going around the building. It goes left, right, center. Yeah. That's called panning. And we didn't have a lot of that. We had some. There were some people that would, you know, like a word or something that would shoot out, but you wouldn't have that movement in the record. And what I was trying to do back then, because the craft wasn't respected, I would tell the guys when we would do this in the studio, I want people to put your record on 20 years from now and say, wow, that sounds like a record, like music, not just a kick and a loud snare.
Mm-hmm.
So when you put anything I've engineered in headphones, it's like an experience. And I still today, I brought you a sound today, something I've been working on. And that's the thing. I don't treat it as if it's rap or any other genre. It's music, and I try to mix it, blend it, and add the elements that are necessary so that we can get some respect for what we do. Not just, you know, it's just a beat. No, they'll listen to it, and even if they didn't like the rhyme, they would say, this is a record.
But you see, look, in just you explaining how you were doing things, cutting the reel, like you had to really, really put things together. Now everything is computer.
Yeah, that's right.
So everything is, you know, it's already ready. All you have to put 2 buttons and the beat is done. Through it and it's done. Like, and they're getting, they're charging for that, like 50,000.
Well, let me tell you the pros and the cons to that, because I do seminars and I discuss it. And some people don't like it, but I'm not one to.
This is real talk.
Yeah, I don't care.
It's not about like, it's about keeping it real.
The better the technology is, the worse the music. If you listen to music now overall, and I don't care if the record sells a million or a single song, and you compare it to the days of Diana Ross, Motown, the quality is nowhere near. It sells records, yes.
Right.
But if you listen to it, there is nothing about it that makes you go, that's like, look at the strings, how lush they are. By like Stylistics, the Dramatics, the Old Days, Philadelphia Sound, Soul Train. Those people
that's made 40, 50 years.
And it requires musical writing. Because a computer will do most of it, you don't exercise your brain. Like people say to me, I want to do this record, the beat is hot, I got to come through to you. Those are pre-recorded. You did nothing. You select, it's like picking a sandwich. It's not your sandwich.
Right.
It's just picking something and rhyming on it. Where I came from, and still today, the way I make records is, we sit, I do it with La Bruja, and I said, talk to me. I need to get to know you first. We don't just start recording. We went to lunch a few times before we ever recorded.
It was like an interview.
Oh, I have to sit with you. Party. Otherwise, I'm just like a robot. I have to get to know you so that I can take your level, your ideas to a different level. Whereas another person will say, well, this is what I charge, and they'll just say, play and record. But I don't do that. So with, and it's been successful because with Light, I'm proud to say, I not only engineered, but I produced her number one record in her career, which is Port Jordan, and I co-wrote it.
You co-wrote
it? She's under the credits. It says I don't
like nice. Right. I didn't know that. That's a new one for me.
But that happened because we sat and she tried an idea and I said, maybe you should try going this route. And when she didn't, she's like, it does work. You know, it wasn't about control. It was just like, even with Gotti, there was a record Gotti and I co-wrote with.
Well, it's a project. I mean, when you're working on a project, it's supposed to be, you know, everybody's supposed to have at least some input.
But there's so many egos in the room. Like when we did Self-Destruction. Self-Destruction is a historic record.
Yes.
East Coast, West Coast, these guys used to want to kill each other.
Yes.
That's one of my records. make a record about peace, and they're complaining about their egos, and my car costs more than his car.
Oh, my God. And the song is about peace.
And the song is about peace. And a real good part of it was that I enjoyed Jeff Dykes on the record. Now, Jeff Dykes was not a person about peace. I did his album. Great guy.
Right.
Which is the most serious thug in history, in hip-hop. Mm. Nobody's a bigger thug than Jeff Dykes.
Mm.
I'm telling you, because I've been there. Everyone up front, Jeff Dykes is real.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was known for being a tough guy. So when we were doing the record, he decided, I'm the spot. I want to be on this record. So that, I think her name is Ann Carly from Jive Records, said, there's nothing I can do. I don't have a release. So he picked up her cell phone, called up the record label, and told them, you're going to let me do this record.
Mm.
He got on the speakerphone. The guy said, whatever he wants, he can do. And that's how he got on the album.
Wow.
Right,
so he's
on the spot.
He just bogarted himself there. He's not
going to
be in this
song. He finished his record, went to the lobby, put 50 cents in the soda machine. It ate his change. He picked the machine up and smashed it on the floor.
Okay.
This is all real.
Right.
And the owner came here, take your money. He said, my money got broken. That's real.
Trying to get me.
That's
I was just tricking.
That's the real thing.
You want to trick it.
That's the kind of guy that these guys were when I was working with, you know.
Wow. You know, you bring us, I know you bring us an exclusive. We're having a little technical situation. If we're not able to finish by the time, you know.
I'll leave it with you.
Okay, great. That's
you're the first person I have. No one has that.
Exclusive. That's what I'm talking about.
No
okay.
Brand new song.
Okay. So we'll definitely make sure that we get it and we will play it. And I'll text you next week, and then maybe you can, at least on a call-in,
sure.
I want you to be, like, on the online when I play exclusively.
Okay.
And I definitely appreciate that. We love exclusives here, right?
Yeah.
We love exclusives.
Definitely.
Yeah, especially someone 26 years in the game. This is no joke, yo. You know what, 26 years, still doing the same crap and loving it?
Yeah.
And loving it, because that's, you know, the love part goes after like 5 years. You're like, man,
yeah, right.
I just got to pay my bills. I got to pay this mortgage. I got to, you know, keep paying all the stuff that, you know, living the lifestyle. So you start living a certain lifestyle, you're like, oh, man.
You start tricking.
You know what I'm saying? You got to maintain that lifestyle. But, all right, so, yeah, so we definitely are going to be happy to, you know, to throw that exclusive. I wanted to kind of stalled it a bit because I know La Bruja, she's doing something. She's at the New York region right now performing, and she's going to be a little late, and I actually wanted her to be here while you was here.
Right.
I don't know if you're going to have time.
I'll wait on her.
Okay, cool.
She's coming. I'll wait on her.
Okay, cool. So if you just hang out, you know, and I'll wait up for her, and because then there's some questions I want to ask, like, y'all both at the same time about the project. You know, even though you told me some things, and I know she'll tell me some things.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you guys are very good. Not only working people,
yes.
You know, but friends.
Yes, I know.
Also,
I know
out of the
family,
industry
I know
stuff.
Children.
Right, out
I
of the industry
family.
Stuff.
Yes.
And I think that's, like, that's another element to this industry. You know, everybody's like, oh, that's my man.
Right.
That's my
right.
Dude, that's my
they
and
drop name.
And you'd be like, and so what is his aunt's name?
Right,
I don't know.
Right.
He has an aunt? Like, how do you say to somebody, like, your man, your best friend, whatever,
right.
You know nothing about their family?
You're right, but I've always, that's one thing I've kind of known if an artist could work with me well. I know 90% of everyone I work with, I know their parents.
Mm.
That's how deep I go. I would spend weekends at EPMD's house in Long Island, play basketball with them and KRS. I don't know about sleeping in the studio for a month doing an album.
Wow.
I knew KRS. I know his wife. I mean, his former wife. The whole posse. I was there when Scott died. Rakim, another incredible artist. And
wow.
He would do
Rakim,
stuff like,
yeah.
Like, Rod's the only artist I ever had that when we did vocals, he gave me his back. No one's ever done that.
Wow.
Whoa.
He didn't do it out of disrespect. He's in his world. That's
even
his own. And most artists, I need to see them so I can count them in.
Mm.
But they may have this certain rhythm, but they may not come in on a one and it causes a headache again with Rob.
So he worked in his own zone and still that,
yeah.
You guys were still
oh,
innocent.
Yeah, no, we were great. And another thing is he wrote in the studio live, which it was dope, but at the same time it was a problem because we used tape. So he would tell me, Doc, run the tape. I can't run the tape for 8 hours and burn the tape.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would
not
do
like
is,
now, but just repeat.
It's hard drive. So what I would do is use any sample that was available, loop one bar of the song. I don't have to tell him that. All he wants to do is hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just turn the tape off and make the loop run for hours.
Right.
He gets to write. I get to save the tape.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the tape would have ran out. But, you know, to be standing there and hear him come with page 4 or I know you got soul, you hear those words come out of his mouth. And it's automatic because you feel it.
Yes.
Same thing with Kara. That's why him and Kara, I mean, there's other guys that are really dope and all that, but him and Kara, it's something about them.
Legends.
They're
real.
They live that shit.
Right.
This is real stuff. And, you know, they don't, nobody talks. Nobody. And I know I was there from scratch.
Right. And how hot is that? So let's bring in a caller, because I'm going to be hogging you up all to my bills and stuff, and I'm sure people have questions. So is it a black, is this a black number?
Yeah, the 202 and the 646.
202, you're on with Emma E2K and Ivan Doc Rodriguez. 202?
Yes, Damien.
Damien.
What it do, what it do, what it do?
What it
First
do,
off, I want to say salute. You know what I'm saying, to my brother doing it up, being a producer, man, I salute you, you know, because I was there back in them days when we didn't, you know, have it digital, it was all analog, so I know the real situation where you had to sit there and cut and paste, and you're definitely right about panning. A lot of people nowadays still don't even fully understand that, you know, the study of sound. You can make your music so much better if you actually panned it. You know, you could change the whole continuity of a song by just doing it. So you gave a lot of knowledge to the people, so I definitely appreciate that. And speaking about the legends, that's definitely what's up. You know, keep doing what you're doing, my brother.
Thank you.
He's talking about where he's lived. I mean, you know, this is his life. This is where, you know, this is where he was living and has contributed to hip-hop, because a lot of people say, oh, I grew up in a certain era or whatever, but, you know, not everybody gets to contribute. And 26 years later, you know, he's able to say he's still in the game, and he gives his whole list of what he's been doing, and it's crazy. Like, nobody can really, like, mess with him, you know? You look at him and be like, you're serious? Like, his shit is history. He never got to work again in his life. But see, he does it, you know, for the love, and that's, I think will keep definitely, well, I don't think, I know, that's what definitely keeps you, you know, ongoing young looking, hello, because we're looking young and fab, you know what I'm saying? Because we're talking about very kids back. But we're still looking young and fab. And that's because you're doing some love, and you still get excited, still all these years later. And don't these young, you know, artists that are coming up or producers wish that they had that, you know, that love for it? I talk to a lot of them, and I'm like, do you love it? And they're like, yeah, of course, I like it. No, I said, do you, there's a difference. You like what you do, that you love what you do.
There's a difference in loving what you do and just wanting to be down.
Want to be.
I told you when it began for me, I wanted nothing to do with it. It was just too much of a headache. And because of Spider, all due respect to Spider, absolutely. Without him, I wouldn't be doing it. So I always say that to him. But without the love for it, I wouldn't be doing it. Because it's never been a hype for me. You don't see me in many videos. I'm not big on the front. I don't have patience for like I never have, because I'm like, if you hire me, I'll make records. If you don't hire me, then I'm out.
Right,
I don't,
if you see me,
I'm not here to you know, to fulfill your ego.
Okay, right, your ego, right.
And you don't have to do that for me, because I'll get this. You know, like when a person tells me that makes it sick, it has to be. That's what I do. You know, it's not to me like, that's right. It's, no, that's what I do.
Right.
If it's whack, then I'm making, I have a problem.
Right.
You know, it's never about hype, but it is with a lot of people. You know, many dudes are the hottest on the corner.
But let's bring in, also, we have another caller, 646. 646, you are live with Emma E2K and Ivan Jack Rodriguez.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, it's La Bruja.
Oh, what's up?
Emma, what's up? Doc, what's up, everybody? Y'all, I am in the Hoop Diddy on the FDR, heading my way over to you. So, you know, a.k.a. the broom. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we're waiting for you. We're waiting for you. I'm going to continue to chop it up with the doc. And he says he's going to wait for you to get here as well. So we're waiting for you.
I'm on my way. I just did a show at the New Eureka Poets Cafe for this organization of Art for Change, and they have this thing called Así Afuera. It's a two-day event. I'm going to be at El Barrio tomorrow with them on 103rd and something at like 3:30. But, you know, it's basically to promote keeping open the green spaces that we have, because, you know, property, the way that things are going right now, they're like, you know, an arm and a leg for 2 feet, 2 square feet, you know? So we're like, you know, doing contests to try to promote, you know, the need for more green spaces, man. We need to have open spaces that have grass and trees and open air y cuanta cosa. So, you know, especially in the BX, which is like the capital of asthma. You know what I'm saying? We gotta plant some trees. Hug a tree, people. But I'm on my way to you. I love you guys very much. And, bang, bang, I'm kicking the broom. Bang, bang, come on, let's go. All right. What?
We have another caller.
Okay. See you soon.
Okay, Mama.
Bye.
201, you're all with Emma E2K and Ivan Jack Rodriguez.
What's good, Emma? This is Q out of Jersey. What's cracking?
See, Q, what's going on, baby?
Not much. Tired as hell. Just got my laundromat open, everything. Had the grand opening last week with the beauty salon and the nail salon. Grand opening today was for the barbershop. So I'm like staying on my grind, you know, doing my thing.
Nice, nice. Definitely nice to hear that. Give a shout-out to Ivan Jack Rodriguez.
What's going on, man? What's going on? What's good? What's good?
Hi, baby. What's good?
Did you get to listen in a little bit to our interview?
No, I just called in, so I don't even know what the topic is about.
Okay, well, our topic is, it ain't tricking if you got it. And how did I know you were laughing on that? And listen. And how much you have to spend for it to be considered tricking?
I don't know. I don't trick, so I mean, If I take somebody out on a date, I mean, if you call taking somebody out on a date and the dinner is tricking, then I guess I'm a nut.
Hold on. Everybody tricks once in a while, right? I know, come on. So everybody tricks at least once or twice. Q, I gotta put you on Tati Quieto right now. Hold on. 619, you're all with Emma E2K and Ivan Doc Rodriguez. 619?
Yeah, you with me?
I'm with you.
How you doing? Hey, this is for my man Doc. Me and Doc grew up together, man. This is Mark Magic, Mark Jeffers from back in Hell's Kitchen. What's going on, man?
Well, he's here. He's right here.
Yeah, man. I am so proud of my boy. Y'all don't even understand the perseverance that my man has had to stay in the game. And he's doing what he has always done. He's always done it, and he's always done it great.
He's definitely done it his way, and for a long time, 26 years.
And representing Hell's Kitchen all the way.
That's right, man. I'm here in San Diego, California. I've been away from Hell's Kitchen for a while, but I always keep Hell's Kitchen in my heart. And Doc was one of my best friends growing up as teenagers. And I'll tell you, there's no trick about him. There's nothing in his game that's weak at all, never has been, never will be, and he'll be doing it like nobody else for years to come.
Mm.
Thank you, Mark.
All right. Hey, I just want to make sure I got a call in and tell him I love him, all right? I love what he's been doing, and I'm proud of him every day, and I'm going to stay in touch, and I'm always going to be looking out for what he's doing in the game.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
All right.
Thank you for calling. Your words are definitely appreciated. You almost put a tear in my eye. What's wrong with you?
All right, man. Y'all take care. When you come out to Cal sometime, come see me.
All right, boss. Be good.
Jeez, that was great. That was awesome. So we don't have no more callers. I can go into one more.
Genius wants to say this.
Genius, do you have any final thoughts or any final statement for Ivan Jack Rodriguez?
Yo, I'm gonna stay tuned for what you're working on. I mean, let the people know what you got cooking up right now. You know what I'm saying?
He gave me an exclusive. Listen, now you're getting me mad. He gave me an exclusive, and I can't play it, not yet.
We're gonna take care of that so that we can do that and get that to the people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I wouldn't have known it was MP. I didn't know. It was a short 1.5 minute snippet. But
we're going to have it.
Yeah, it's no biggie. It's yours. It's yours. No one has it.
You heard him. He said it's ours.
Nobody got it yet. This is a brand new artist. probably releasing in 2011. It's one of a few things that I deal with, different projects that are coming down the road. Cause you got to keep in mind, folks get used to seeing you with so many hits that they forget for every hit, there's a bunch of not hits. You know, no one came, like, I didn't pick up KRS-One as a superstar. He was the same as everyone else.
Right.
So you got to be a little patient and let things, like with Gotti, with Bruja, you know, she wasn't immediate, it was a growth. She paid many dues.
Many.
It's not overnight. My work didn't come overnight. My work was difficult because another thing that I touch on in some magazines is when I started, there were no Puerto Ricans.
That was another thing.
No, there weren't. They danced in the street. They broke dance. But
Charlie Chase?
That wasn't an engineer-producer combination. There was none.
He was a DJ for
the Coker's Brothers.
Right.
And he would do some magic. But I'm saying when I began rap wasn't even black. Rap was controlled by whites. When you went into a hip-hop session, the guy behind the counter had a pack of cigarettes on the console, and he had long hair like a rock and roll person.
Wow.
I always told artists, even if it's hiring me, I said, if you go in the studio and the dude has got a pack of cigarettes and a drink on the table, he's taking your money.
Wow.
So you're paying him for his time.
Wow.
So no matter who the person is, another thing is when someone hires me, I treat you the same as I would treat any star, anybody.
Right.
No less, no more.
Right.
So when I went in, there was no, you know, it was almost like I had to break a barrier to accept that a Puerto Rican wasn't only somebody that broke dance in the street. They wouldn't want to trust my views in the studio, what decisions I made, and I refused to give in. So now many doors have opened for Latino producers and Latino engineers.
And it's still a limited number.
But it would be even less. So that's something I don't speak on, but I'm very proud.
The calls are off the hook, so let's go to another call. 718, you're on with Emma E2K and the Doc.
The Doc was good.
718?
Hello?
Yes, hi, you're on with Emma E2K. And
hey, what's going on? I don't really have any questions for my man, but I'm here to like, drop a comment and kind of attest to what he's talking about and what he's saying. Doc treats everybody like they're a superstar. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody that Doc gives them the same respect, no matter how much money they got or how much money they don't have. You understand what I'm saying? So he goes in for everybody. He doesn't play with the time. You know, he doesn't mess around when he gets on the boards, and he goes in. You know, record?
Okay, listen, I'm sorry. I don't need to cut you off, but we're not understanding what you're saying for some reason. I don't know if you have the phone or speaker or if you're next to a radio, or you're in a bad area. We really want to hear what you have to say clearly, so I don't want to let you continue, and we really are not understanding what you're saying. Can you maybe hang up and try to call us back from a different area, or maybe check your background or something? Cause we really
Yep.
Okay, thank you, baby.
Yeah.
646, you're on with Emma E2K and the Doc. 646. Okay, well, our lines are off the hook. Everybody want to talk to the Doc today. That's good. That's definitely a good day.
Very informative. He gave out a lot of information that a lot of people...
Some real stuff.
The technical side of producing and engineering, because not everybody is a producer.
Right.
The crazy thing about it also, that I want to tell you, the difference between a beat maker and a producer and an engineer. You know, you start from a beat maker, producer, you know, get into your engineering stuff, but a lot of people think they're beat makers and they call themselves producers. Can you break down and inform these people and let them know what the real deal is?
The difference between beat makers and producers.
One thing I never do, anyone that knows me for time, well, I don't BS anybody. If you ask me, don't ask me something you don't want an answer for. A beat maker's got nothing to do with production. Production's a whole other world. That's no disrespect, that's a reality.
A
beat maker will put a record out, a record, loop something, or take a beat off of a program. Barry White is a record producer. Lionel Richie's a record producer. People that know not only how to read music, but how to read bars. They not just spit on a record. If you ask a person, can you set this up with bridges, choruses, and let me know how many bars you're giving me per bridge, and they don't have an answer for that, you're not a producer. You may want to be one, and you can become one.
Right.
but hitting a button on a machine does not make you a producer. If you listen to a person's vocals and can't tell that his harmonies are flat, that his tone is off, you're not a producer.
Yes.
What is that? Whatever call you're calling from.
706.
And where's that from?
That's Georgia right now.
You're repping Georgia. Welcome, Georgia. You're on the line.
I'm from the boroughs, though, you know what I'm saying? But I'm representing Georgia right now where I'm at, so it's all good.
That's what's up. Definitely all good. Definitely all good. You have any questions for the doc?
Well, not questions. Like I said earlier, that was me that was breaking up a little bit. But more like a comment, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, so what I'm trying to say is, you know, Doc is one of them brothers that when you get up into his studio, you know, I'm an MC, so when you get up into his studio, he treats everybody like, you know, whether they're a superstar or whether they, you know, Charlie from the block or whatever, he treats everybody the same. You understand what I'm saying? And that, to me, is like the most, I guess the most flattering part about working with a brother like Doc Rodriguez, because he has so much stock in the game and he has so much history in the game that when you walk in there, whether you this way or that way, it's like a, you know, it doesn't really matter to him. What he's trying to do is create the best possible situation that is going on at the time. You know what I'm saying? So anything that he does, he gives you more than, I mean, I would say over 100,000% when he goes in on the board. You know what I'm saying? And what he's doing as a producer, because he's not just like, you know, like some beat maker or some engineer dude that just is in there, that's whatever. And, you know, he gives respect and he does everything that he's supposed to for your project, as opposed to like a lot of engineers that sometimes you'll see, they just, you know, if you give them a paycheck or give them some money, you know, it's more or less, yo, all right, I got my little money, I'm out of here right now. You know what I'm saying? And he's not that kind of person at all. When you walk up in there, he wants the best project to come up out of his studio. And especially if he's going to tag his name to it, so it's going to be smoking by the time you leave there. You know what I'm saying? So me, I can attest to the fact that what he was saying earlier about, you know, all the projects that he worked on and had a hand in this and had a hand in that and being one of the most underappreciated persons in the game right now, that I think that he, you know, he's definitely right now for me, that shine for him is long overdue. You know what I'm saying? And I think a lot more people should take more notice instead of, you know, overlooking somebody who had a lot to do with everything that you're listening to at this point right now that you love from history and that's going on now. So that's pretty much my spiel. I just wanted to get that out there and wish my brother the best of luck in his endeavors and keep moving on. You know what I'm saying?
Word point. You know how we do, Pete.
That's what it is, fam.
Thank you. I definitely appreciate all that. I think he needed to hear that as well. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in the things that we do and, you know, just that people are able to acknowledge what we're doing and for how long we've been doing it, you know, it just kind of feeds the soul. What do you think?
I could touch on something with that real quick, if I may. I think one time in my career I got so upset that I did an article that maybe I regret a little bit.
Mm.
Not so much.
Okay.
But I was just so exhausted of not being recognized for one, A, because I was Latino, and two, because I didn't get high.
Because
That's another thing. I come from Hell's Kitchen, but I've never smoked in my life.
Mm.
I don't drink. I don't smoke. I'm real clean like that. I don't have a problem with people that do it, but that's not something I do. So I was fighting, trying to keep myself in the studio and with zero support. There was no Latinos with the whole, Latinos, hands up, none of that with me alone. And then just recently, because, again, for me, I love what I do. Recognize me, you don't. I know in my stomach what I've done.
Right.
My daughter is, like, unreal. My daughter's name is Crystal. She's a
Crystal.
She stepped up into that, that whatever you want to call that, VH1 honor bullshit. I'm sorry.
The hip-hop honor? Okay.
And she went in there, and when they were giving out awards, she stood up and started screaming, "That's my father. That's my father. That's my father."
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Achievement 26 years in.
Wow.
But you're giving certain corny people so-called award that some people have, but yo, I've been in the trenches, seriously, for 26. There's hundreds of brothers that got plaques all over the wall because they hung out with you in the studio.
Mm.
Every plaque on my wall is from sweat, from work.
Right.
You can't give me a plaque for free. I don't want it.
Right.
If it doesn't have something to do with me, I don't want nothing to do with it. But they don't know that side of me. So that's the only thing I did say because my daughter called me tight.
Mm.
She was sad. This is bullshit. And then the killer is that they call me to get rights to use some of my songs in a commercial to promote the joint. And I told them, let me ask
you. Unbelievable.
You're willing to pay me for a snippet or something, but you're not willing to honor what I've done. And the guy told me, who works with him? He told me, Doc, this is all hypocrisy.
Wow.
He told me, this is not about resisting.
See, that's what I'm
saying. It's straight up hypocrisy. Corporate America making more money on something that we brought up out the street.
They keep putting their foot up, you know, somebody that.
That's where the growth lacks. That's what he's saying, and that's why.
Yeah.
You can't, like, my character, you can't break it. It's mm-hmm. who I am. It's the way I was raised. So you can't buy me out. Like I told you, there's an artist. I threw the money in his grill. I told him you couldn't pay me enough. We done. You know what I'm saying? So what he's saying, I understand. And that was the one thing that I had a little thing with for a couple of years, and I don't care anymore, but what do I got to be like? 50 years out of the country,
right,
dead,
for the case,
whatever, my daughter, oh, here, your pop did this when I'm right here right now.
Right.
I'm still doing it.
Right. I mean, and that happens, you know, more times than we even want to even talk about, but like I said, our line's been off the hook, so we're trying to give everybody an opportunity. The last caller, and then we got to keep going. 718, you're on with Emma, E2K, and the Doc.
Hola, Emma. This is La Leona. How are you?
Hi, Mama. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so glad that I caught your show today. I'm home for the first time in a really long time, and I'm loving your topic.
Cool. I'm so glad. Before I go into the topic with you, do you have anything to say to the Doc?
No. I just have to say that when one thing that he said about you can't give yourself a name, and just because you want to do something, he said something about being a producer. Obviously, if you don't do your research on anything in life, being a producer, manager, whatever the case may be, just anything in life, it's just not putting a name to something. You know, you definitely have to research it, and I'm glad I came on tonight because, as you know, I'm venturing into this whole entertainment world, and I'm loving it. It's my dream, but just because it's my dream doesn't mean that, excuse me, that I'm just going to jump into it. You have to research everything to know what you're talking about and follow through.
Right, absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm just going to put you on hold a minute. Please hang on and continue listening to the show. I'm
sure, no problem.
As much as I would love to continue having me, I'm even extending the show because of that, because they were just, you know, he just dropped so much dude we needed to listen to him. But I do have still two more guests that I got to bring in, which is Divine that's outside from today and La Bruja. So just continue to hang on. I'm going to say bye to the Doc, and we're going to go into a song. We'll be right back. Finally, T.I. is drinking. You guys are listening to T.I.
Hey, Jill. You know them old sugar daddies. They be tricking. They tell them, girl.
I said you can have whatever you like. I said you can have whatever you like. You like. Yeah. Yeah.
college, 100K deposit. Vacations in the tropics. Everybody know it ain't tricking if you got it. You see, never ever gotta go in your wallet. Long as I got rubber band banks in my pocket. 5-6 rides with rims and a body kit. You ain't gotta downgrade. You can get what I get. My chick and how she wants. And go and let it stone for any bag she wants. I know you ain't never had a man like that. To buy you anything, your heart desire like that. Yeah, I want your body, need your body. Long as you got me, you won't need nobody. You want it, I got it, go get it, I buy it. Tell them all the wrong nigga, be quiet. Stacks on deck, strong on ice.
Recordmode@hotmail.com, and that means something because when you record in a studio and the person's going to record, they say record mode.
Record mode.
That's the mode you put it. But that's what it is. Recordmode@hotmail.com.
That's what's up. So don't forget to follow him on the Facebook, Ivan Doc Rodriguez, and also his email is recordmode@hotmail.com. And we're going to watch him go sign the door over there and the wall. And while he's doing that, next up, we're going to bring our next guest, which is Divine from the Day. Give it up for Divine. We switching. Hi, baby.
How you doing?
Come on in.
Oh, man.
Haven't seen you in a minute.
Yes, I've been everywhere.
What is
going
on? Yes, we are.
What's up, world? How you feeling?
Everybody, whoever wants to ask questions, Divine, make sure you call in 347-826-7722. I know I see all the calls. The phone lines are off the hook. But give us a chance. I need to ask questions. I need to, you know, try to get some information here so we can be able to feed it to you guys. Okay, now, I always like to start from the beginning. You know, there's people that may know you, not know you, follow you, not follow you. You've been not as long as that in the industry, but you have been, you know, doing your thing and putting in definitely your work.
Yes.
So I don't like to forget about that because I always like to say, don't forget, you know, where you've been because,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's going to take you where you're going.
Right.
So talk me through, you know, the first time you ever touched the mic or even considered that this was going to be something that you wanted to do. Career-wise.
As a career, I always had a passion for music. I always loved music. I grew up
in the South Bronx. I was raised, you know, looking at AJ in the park. You know, Curtis Blow used to be active in my community. Like right now, it was just Morehouse Day. I'm from 149th and Jackson, which is Morehouse, not too far from here. And I just had Mano come through from Brooklyn, big up Mano. He came through and showed the hood love. But I grew up with, like, Baby Flash, Grandmaster Flash's son, and very, very hip-hop, a very strong hip-hop community. And as I got older, I started performing, and I like to give credit to Zulu Nation, and not too much the African Bambaataa, but the Zulu Nation so-called street gang, that it was a lot of Puerto Rican and Hispanics that was a part of Zulu Nation, and it was repping Zulu and what it meant to understand your heritage and where you come from. And one day, we had gotten into a fight in junior high school, and I forget the day because I used to hang out with my man Kareem, Jamal, y'all know who y'all are. And one day, the Zulu kids came, and they were speaking in Spanish, and they came to fight brothers, and I started talking to them in Spanish, and my man Kareem totally stopped the fight and was like, yo, D, you Spanish? And I'm like, yeah, I'm Spanish, like, I speak Spanish. So it was one of the active memories that I have of me being, starting this bilingual thing. So years go on, I started working with Dead Prez, and I started, if you know who Dead Prez is a revolutionary hip-hop group. They were kind of loud, and I started becoming the voice of Brown Pride in the Dead Prez Active Collective, which was the People's Army. And with Dead Prez, I'm on the first album. I helped create the first album, so on and so forth. And through Dead Prez, I met Andre Levine. Andre Levine is the producer and the founder of a band called Yerba Buena.
Yerba Buena?
Yeah, not
Spanish and English would be?
Good herb.
Good herb.
Yeah, but it meant like healing herbs, like in the religion of Santeria and stuff like that. And they're an Afro hip hop Cuban band, which I went on to write a song called Wahida that was and it's not Dr. Torres is Yerba Buena, it's Yerba Buena Andre Levine's band, because Dr. Torres is an active person in the Bronx, and he has a band, it's a Bombay Plena band called Yerba Buena, but this is the Afro-Cuban hip-hop band. So I went on and wrote Wahida, and I was Grammy nominated for that record that I wrote. It's in Dirty Dancing Part 2, Havana Nights, it was in Honey, a lot of movies, and so on and so forth. So with this, I went on to create a group called The Day. And The Day consists of, it's an acronym for our name, Divine Ilona Yeo. And it consists of myself, Ilona Vela, and Yeo, which is named as Amelia Contrabass. And we were the first bilingual group ever to get signed to a major label, which was Sony Epic. And I fought for our group to be a group to come out in the English division. Like, you know, a lot of, like Mark Anthony is a great example. Mark Anthony put out an English album and a Spanish album, but his Spanish album would be worked by Sony Latino, and his English album would be worked by regular Sony.
Don't separate
you. And I fought because I know and understand that we rep in a community that speaks Spanish and English every day. They're not a separate community. Mm-hmm. Like how we grew up speaking both at the same time, you know, without even understanding that we're doing it.
That's,
you know,
because your mother was talking in Spanish, you answering her in
English. English, exactly.
And
you're
understanding
each other. And the conversation is going well. So I used to bring this up in our board meeting, saying, how can you separate us? There's people in Puerto Rico and Dominican Republic that are listening to English records and know the words but don't know English.
Mm-hmm.
When I went out to Asia, it was the same thing. The Japanese, the Vietnamese, the Filipinos, they don't know English, but they know the words to your song. And that's how y'all vibe and communicate. So we went on to create this group, and I've been traveling the world, and I have a great experience, and music changed my life.
Talk to me about that first time, kind of like leaving the hood, you know, leaving New York. You're an artist. You're going out there to perform. Talk to me about that experience, how it feels, how other people treat you, like when you step out of your, you know, the comfort zone, which is in New York City, and you step out to somewhere like Japan, or, you know, where they speak a different language and stuff like that, and they treat me.
Yeah, I went to Bali, Indonesia, and it was one of the most beautiful places in the world. And if you ever get a chance to go somewhere, save up money and go to a resort in Bali, Indonesia. And when I went out there, they received us kind of like how you would see in the movies, how you go to Hawaii and they have the, you know, the flowers.
Yeah,
that's how it was. they had these big bouquets for all three of us. The media was there, and it was a great experience for me. And then when we went to Vietnam, we were the first hip-hop group ever to perform in Vietnam. The Days, the first group ever to perform in Vietnam. They never let no hip-hop there, and it was because of how we fusion hip-hop and R&B, and they felt that our music was suitable for their children. Mm-hmm. And we performed the president of Vietnam. We performed for them and high councils there, and it was a beautiful experience. And to see people embrace you and say, not only is this quality music, but I want to share this with my family, old to new, because they made music for, you could listen to that with your nine-year-old, and you could listen to that with your grandma. Like, it's something that I created with the group that everybody in the family could listen to.
That's true, because this one of my favorite, I mean, even though it's a sad song, but one of my favorite songs, I don't know, because it's just such, it's the mom song.
Yeah.
That song is so deep. The name of it is what? It's not Mom.
No, it's, I can't remember. She said, and it goes about.
Look, I'm talking just now, my head is standing up. That song, oh my God, it's just, I guess because everything that you guys are saying, it's just.
Yeah, my mother's a cancer survivor, and when we did the record, it was the record. The record says the mother's telling the child, I want to be just like you.
Mm-hmm.
Like when the scenario is that you're looking at your mother saying, Mom, I want to be just like you, and your mother's telling you, no, my son or daughter, you don't want to be like me, I want to be like you.
Mm.
And it's something that my mother cries to this day when we hear it. It's a big Mother's Day song.
Yes.
A lot of people like send it to their mothers on a Mother's Day. And it was produced by Stargate. Stargate did all of Nino's singles, a lot of Beyonce's To the Left, stuff like that, a lot of guitar. If you hear Stargate's music, they
yeah, I think that's what hits you.
Yeah, the guitar riff.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful riff.
Hearing the guitar, I'm telling you, I'm not even going to front. You know, I'm tired.
I brought you an album so you have it.
Oh, my God, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
I was literally crying. I'm like, why am I crying?
It's deep.
Nobody's
deep. And then I wanted the record to be bigger. It was big in the Asia. But I thought it was a record that should have been big.
I agree.
Because a lot of people need to understand that the mother and daughter and son relationship is important, and it's not as strong as it should be these days. A lot of these kids are more than mother's friends, like, and mothers want to be their kids' friends, and they have to understand that you don't need to be a child's friend. You need to be their mother.
And mother, you got to pay your position.
That's right.
Mother, father.
Yeah, children want to be disciplined. Children want somebody to tell them they cannot do this. Children want somebody to say, oh, no, my mom's cool. No, my mother's not cool. My mother's my mother.
Right. The family structure.
Yes.
This is my mom. This is my dad. These are my friends. Right? And I always
That's
tell
right.
my friends, I'm not your friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not going to like a lot of things that I, you know, tell you not to do or to do whatever.
Yeah,
and that's okay.
But,
and I'm like, and that's okay. I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I'm going to continue to do the best I can as your mother. You want to hang out with a friend, your friends are outside.
That's right.
You know? You talk to your friend a certain way, you talk to your mother. My son, 18, bendición since he's little, still bendición.
That's right.
You know, my daughter, 11, my baby, that's 2, bendición. You know, I don't play that. As soon as, I didn't hear you say what? And then I go, bendición. So much so that if their friends come in the house, and like, they'd be like, bendición, Miss Emma.
That's right. It's important. Because you look young and you're cool, and they think that, oh, your mom is hip. It's not about that. It's about that. The family, this is definitely my new movement. My new movement is FOE, it's called Family Over Everything. And in life, you're born into a family, you make a family with you, which is your friends, and then you go on to make your own family, which is your children.
Mm-hmm.
And and that's the pyramid that I got. I think it's important for people to understand that family comes before everything. I travel the world, I sit in contact with my mother, I sit in contact with my grandparents, I sit in contact with my brothers and sisters, and that's why I made songs like she said. That's why I made songs that it was family orientated, because I had my family in mind throughout the whole thing, you know?
And you could definitely hear, you know, the emotions and the feelings, and so much so that you project it onto, you know, whoever, you know, hearing it. So that's deep.
That.
When you're able to do that with certain words, whether it be a poet or through, you know, through music and song, that you're able to capture somebody like that, especially like, I'm not going to say your name, but some people that are really like stuck macho, and then they hear that song, like, wow, that's like really deep.
Yeah, because it, what gangster is being from the heart, you know, what gangsters in the East and West Coast, if y'all listening, y'all don't understand that y'all cannot project that you even have a heart or feeling, because in that word, that's a sign of weakness. But we know and understand in the real world, that's a sign of strength. Love is the most powerful force in the universe. And once you're able to show that, that's when it destroys all that, you know, insecurity. Because when you have that type of attitude, because you're insecure about, yo, the biggest thug is the biggest lover.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And that's what it is.
I think I can attest to that.
And once the woman has the power to able to teach him how to express that and understand his emotions, because the woman is the master of emotions. She's the one that understands those feelings and,
mm-hmm.
and what causes you to feel in a certain way. So, you know,
to control certain feelings.
Men don't understand that. Men learn that from their mother and from their sisters and women that they deal with in their travels.
This is true. Shout out to my brothers that always say that I taught them some stuff,
mm-hmm.
so I'm glad about that.
Yeah, shout out to my sisters that always taught me the truth, too, and then try to take my best part of me.
Pay up, brother. Pay up. You got to pay your dues. Okay, so what's next for Divine?
The family over everything. I'm working heavily with Dead Prez again. We on our 7th anniversary. We just put out the Revolutionary for Gangsta Grill. I did a song called Malcolm Garvey Huey. It's about Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, and Huey P. Newton. And really just trying to build a bridge between the black and brown community like I did with the Day. And now I'm just trying to really attack the urban community, which is the hood, which is people that always is like, yo, D, I want to hear you. You know, we love the group, but I want to hear what you got to say. I know you got to say more things with the political education and the street edge. So that's what I'm doing now, just being able to direct all my energy to that. You know what I mean? I got this joint coming out with, I brought it to you today. It's called New York Gangsters.
So we'll get to play it.
Okay.
All right, hold on. Don't play yet.
It's produced by Miami D-Wave, and it's coming out of a compilation that they're putting out, and their press is on it as well. I do not know the name of the compilation. I'm sorry, but you can follow them on Twitter, at Miami D-Wave, and you could get, like, the, you know, when it's going to drop.
Okay. Before I play the song, because I'm going to play the song as you're writing on the wall.
Okay.
The wall.
Okay.
Give us your contact. How can we follow you? Your Twitter, Facebook, throw all that out there. So anybody want to contact you to be a part of your movement and anything that you're doing?
You can follow me at Divine of the Day on Twitter. That's D-I-V-I-N-T-O-S-T-H-E-D-E-Y of the Day, the D-E-Y. And that's the best place to get me on Twitter. All day I'm on there.
Follow him.
Follow me, you know, and you know, thank you.
Follow him, support him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's serious about what he does.
Yeah.
He's real about what he does. This is the point of the show, and that's why I only bring people here that are real about what they're doing. I'm real about what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we real about what we do on here. Yeah.
Shout out to Lush. Shout out to everybody that's real, because the word real is being taken out of context. People don't understand what's real because they don't know what's fake and they can't identify the things too. So it's important for you to understand that who you are and be real first, be yourself, and then you'll be able to express yourself and talk the way you're supposed to. That's real.
That's what's up, D. And let's watch his loveliness because he's sexy. Are you
Thank you.
I got some sexiness over here.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And shout out. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Shout out to all the brothers that behind enemy lines that might be listening, that got the privilege to use the computer. Shout out to all the brothers that came home, that's done over 10, 15 years in the federal prison institution. Big D, Big OP, you already know. And thank you for giving them an opportunity to return to the world. You already know.
D, now they're watching them. Do the wall. Sign the wall. Give them the mark, sir. Give them the mark until you can sign the wall. And then we're going to go into his song while he signs the wall. And while I get ready and put some more lip gloss, and we can go right into speaking to La Bruja, because she made it, boy. She got on that broom and was flying over here. She made it. She's here. And that's what's up. And we're going to get right into talking to her. The phone lines are off the hook. People, I see you, but I'm trying to get everybody in, because it's just crazy. This is a crazy Saturday that we got going on. Everybody's learning some stuff. There's too much realness going on here. While Divine is, take pictures of Divine while he's signing the wall. Hello, let's not miss that moment. The wall. He's signing the wall. Everybody that comes here has to sign our famous wall.
come a little closer. We got man, listen, we got a section in over here. I get excited when this like section is over here. And so much power, so much knowledge going on. So Nuts is on the board, looking for Divine Song. Hopefully we get to play it. We got it, and we're playing it. We'll be back.
I am crazy. But you know what else? Boom. I don't give a fuck.
New York gangsters, gangsters, we crazy. New York gangsters, gangsters, we crazy. New York gangsters, gangsters, gangsters. We New York gangsters, cool, but they crazy, crazy. New York gangsters, gangsters, we crazy. New York gangsters, gangsters, we crazy. New York gangsters, gangsters, gangsters. We New York gangsters, cool, but they crazy, crazy.
Yeah, anything can happen in the New York minute. Get your whole shit twisted if you out here snitching. We don't tolerate rats and formless that witness. It's FTT, we handle our own business. Up close and personal with bangers from the kitchen. This is NYC, we blood and we crippin'. We true to the game, we bangin' on the system. And all five barrels, the guard is true and living. Put the G in gang bangin', we in four gang bangin'. We ain't bangin' on the system, then what you bangin' for? Got that jack boy, gun runner, wolf pack mentality. It's family over everything, ain't nothing over family. Sean Bell, Anthony Bias, police brutality. Shootouts, night fights, early morning nightlife. Sworn with the NYPD, it's not nice. And how they did the homie Larry David, she was not right.
New York gangsters, gangsters, we crazy. New York gangsters, gangsters, we crazy. New York gangsters, gangsters, gangsters. We New York gangsters, cool, but they crazy, crazy. New York gangsters, gangsters, we crazy. New York gangsters, gangsters, we crazy. New York gangsters, gangsters, gangsters. We New York gangsters, cool, but they crazy, crazy.
Yeah, drug dealing, killing, kidnapping, extortion. East side, down moves, East Coast, loping. We living that war against all law enforcement. Trying to get the fuck out the hood is what we hope. We want a ball like TV Kirkland, put work in. Get money like Kevin Childs and just style. On the Bronx like Big Geek from CNC. That was the real Cypress and Brook Avenue. Can't forget the lynch mob from Willis, real killer. The young King, Tim Boy George, and Guy Fisher. They was getting money, the official takeover. Trying to take the federal government state over. From the boats to Rikers Island, New York niggas wildin'. Out, we the ones the whole world talks about. Before the shit came to the east, we lived it out. If you know NYC, we eat and thug it out.
New York gangsters, gangsters, we crazy. New York gangsters, gangsters, we crazy. New York gangsters, gangsters, gangsters. We New York gangsters, cool, but they crazy, crazy. New York gangsters, gangsters, we crazy. New York gangsters, gangsters.
What I do, man, a beautiful and most talented woman, I think, in the world, I think I get to say. Man, give it up for that room, a friend of mine.
That's right. Yeah.
So glad you made it.
I was nervous.
Coming, not.
Don't be nervous.
I was nervous. I was like, oh, my God. She said she's going to be in the New York weekend. I know she took on her stuff and all that. But you pulled it through. Like,
all it,
like
yeah.
You pulled everything through, man. You got freaking amazing. Look,
like,
this is
like your first cover, y'all, so I appreciate your acknowledgement.
We just paused for a little photo time.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. That's really true. Listen, the reason why I wanted to give you that cover was to show you, or maybe, I don't know, in just in a little minute way to show you that you are really doing your thing. You know, you're definitely underrated, you know.
Thank you.
Hands down. Because if they start looking at everything that you put in and all the work that you put in, everything that you do, I mean, I don't know why I haven't seen you like in like all these magazines all across the board are seeing bibles, and you have, you know, chicks that just came out, like, you know, I'm not even gonna bother that.
You know,
I'm gonna keep it on the top of
that.
Yeah, okay.
It's
okay,
because, so honestly,
because you don't take your clothes off? You know,
I don't take my clothes off, because I have done auditions where they're like, all right, can you take the shirt off? And I'm like, you take your pants off, and then maybe I'll take my shirt off. Let's make that there's a party.
How about that?
Like that. But also, I want to own all my music. Mm. That's a problem.
Right.
When labels
right.
Up, you can't own your work.
Or you can
go to a label.
You can do the work, but you can't own
right,
it.
Right, right. So do all the work. You know, fill your guts for me.
Right.
Let's hear everything you got. Now, hoochie it out and shake your ass a little more.
Right.
And then, okay, then, you know, we'll find you. You know, it's an ill industry.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen it, I've done it, I've been there. Not that I've taken all my clothes off, but, you know what I'm saying?
On the shoulder.
I'm wearing lace. Today. So, it ain't for nobody else. Whatever I do, it's
like
I want to do.
How you want to make
it? That's the difference. And many people, they don't understand love and love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people that I've tried to direct my whatever, they don't understand where I'm coming from. So, the best way to really represent yourself is by representing yourself. And that's what I have learned. And it may take me the longer road, but I know that once I get there, I did that shit.
And you can hold your head up.
I did it my way.
You're not
Frank Sinatra.
You don't have to be nervous, like, are these photos going to show up, these photos that they, or the movie,
right.
Or the DVD, or...
I've seen it, I've done it, you know, it's my brainchild, and I'm proud of that. At the end of the day, if it fails, if it succeeds, whatever it is, at the end of the day, I know that I can say, I made that happen.
With all the titles that you carry, and all the hats that you wear,
mm-hmm.
Which one would you start with first? Like, who is La Bruja?
I'm a poet.
Mm.
That is my foundation. Poetry is my foundation. And that's how I became known first and foremost, the poet. And everything else builds on that.
You
to be like a poetry anyway.
You did the Russell Simmons
Poetry Jam.
The Poetry Jam.
I did second season, I think, episode 4.
Mm. And your famous piece.
Well, Lola Fasbola was pretty famous in the hood, but WTC was famous worldwide. And at the time, they didn't want me to do WTC. They just wanted to hear a Boricua chick from the BX talk about Lola Fasbola, the bar crack on the corner. And I was like, I don't want to do that piece. I want to represent and talk about politically what's going on. And they were like, well, if you don't do Lola, you're not going to make the cut.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, I put that in, I registered it, and if you look at the episode, that's why you see me do Lola first, and then I weave it into WTC, because I was like, I don't want them to edit that out. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right, you did it in a way that they had to.
Right, they had to include it, and it was the best thing that I ever did, because people recognize me more for WTC than anything.
Mm.
Like, I've gone to Germany, I've gone across the world, and people are like, WTC, you know, like that,
right.
Like that piece. And there's some people that are knuckleheads, they don't want to hear the
right.
WTC.
Right.
You know, they're like, you know,
that's fine.
That be done, they ain't better. They get clothes on.
Take it off.
But anyone that has any type of sensibility and any type of depth within them knows that WTC was something that was beyond me. It was for the spirits, and it was a message for all the people that sacrificed it.
And whoever wants to hear, they can go to the YouTube.
You go to my YouTube page. It's under my real name, Caridad de la Luz. All one word, not Caridad de la Cruz, not Clarity de la Luz. Like, you know, like, I don't hear more people, I'm like, hey, my name, I'm like, no. It's Caridad de la Luz, Charity of the Light. That is my name, that's my real name.
Okay, so you start as a poet, you want your first title, you start as a poet, you do the Russell Simmons Death Comedy, poetry, you get in there, okay, poet, or you solidify that, okay, poet. What goes next after
the whole time while that poetry was popping off, I was writing my one-woman show at the time called Boogie Ridge Boulevard. So that was developing from 1998. I had started writing Boogie Ridge Boulevard. Just before my children were born, before any of that. And I was doing it at the New Yorker, I did it at Joe's Pub, and I was doing characters. I had taken a class with Betty Hawk. I had studied John Leguizamo. I had studied Whoopi Goldberg. Like, I had studied a lot of, like, one-person
performances, and I started developing these characters, and I created Boogie Rican because of my identity. Like, I had to find myself and be like, okay, because when I would go to Puerto Rico, they'd be like, tú eres americana. But then in America, oh, you Puerto Rican, you're not American. So I had to find who I was, and in that search, I created these people, these characters that I was influenced by, family members, my hood. You know, the best entertainment is not TV, people.
Mm-hmm.
It is watching people.
Yes.
I am a voyeur. I will sit on a bus and I will study people and I will take notes. You know what I'm saying? Like, or mental or otherwise. And out of that was born Boogie Rican Boulevard. Sonia Sotomayor is a Boogie Rican because she's Puerto Rican from the Boogie Down.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Lopez is a Boogie Rican because she's Puerto Rican from the Boogie Down. There are many of us. You know what I'm saying? So more specifically, beyond New York Rican, even though I began my career at the New York Rican Poet Cafe, I identify myself as a Boogie Rican. And then from there, Boogie Rican Boulevard was born. All the characters came out. Don't
yes.
say, see,
okay.
All the crazy people.
We got to tap into some of these characters because it's like you have multiple personalities and you do them all so well. Like, I don't even know who does that. Like, because, you know, sometimes if you're doing more than one or two roles, you kind of lack on one and, you know, the other one will sound or look like the other one and they'll mix it and you'll be like, okay, whatever. You can tell the same person doing a different
with a different outfit or something.
But you took it over the top because you know I was there watching and I was like, no, she is not doing that. She went from old man to a crackhead to I'm like, wait, what, whoa. And kind of just, you took the ride with her. You make people take that ride with you. You make them see exactly what you're seeing and what you're feeling. And it's crazy because you're like, I know somebody like that.
Yes.
Yo, I see somebody like that. Yo,
right.
Somebody like that in my family.
Identify.
Yes. Right. Okay.
Yes.
Give me a little, not the eyes. Give me a little of, you know, no, let me see, who I was first. I don't know.
Boy, you know, oh my God, that journey was a ride.
Who was the hardest role? Which one was your hardest role? Let's go.
I would say the hardest character for me out of all the Boogie Rican Boulevard cast was the last one. I would say Malta, the one from Long Island.
Yeah.
She's like Puerto Rican, like, you know, the Bronx town, because she's in love with the Zero, and she's a permanent citizen, because she really loves this guy, but she knows he's cheating on her, and my God.
Sing it for that song.
Oh my God, let me think of this song.
Listen, oh my God. What is it? Okay, somebody told me to ask you. Is it on DVD? Is it coming out on DVD?
I do have it on DVD. I'm working on the fact. The only problem, honestly, is the sound. When I recorded it, the sound quality is pretty poor. But the heart still shows through. Like, you know, I was lucky to have captured it in the first place.
Okay.
The sound is not all that good. But if you, like, rank up your volume and
right.
watch it, you'll catch it. And it's awesome.
Okay.
And it's awesome. And my daughter's in it. You already
know. Yeah,
that was my major love.
You definitely, you know, you are.
And I was changing, like, you know, people ask me, did you fall? Like, when they watch the video,
right.
they're like,
No, that was
straight through.
Right.
I had somebody back there with me putting one shoe, this shoe, like,
and moving, putting back
it
on.
Was like, you know, like those race cars, like the pit stuff.
Yes.
He's like, and then you go, that's what that was. It was insane.
I know, and you were doing those shows like for 4 weeks straight?
Yeah, I did it a month straight.
A month straight.
And only off on Mondays.
Mm.
So, you know what?
You were sleeping and living. It was like, how much do you know? What am I going to do today?
I'm not saying the pornophobia, because pornophobia came of, like, being pornophobic, like, when someone te mete los cuernos.
When somebody playing you out.
They're cheating on you. Right? So then I was like, and this character, she's pornophobic of being cheated on by her cute bodeguero boyfriend that she moved to the Bronx for because
right.
she's from Long Island. She's
right.
not used to this.
She's not used to
right?
it.
She's not used to this hood, but here she is because she's so in love. And so she's pornophobic. And they're like, oh, my God, you're so xenophobic. And she's like, no, I'm not xenophobic. And like, yes, you are. You're so xenophobic. If you were me, you would be xenophobic too. She's the hardest character, but she was one of the most fun. Why was she the hardest for you? I don't know. It's because, you know, honestly, I based her off a character that I met years ago and haven't seen since. Mm. And that was one of the reasons. So like, I haven't seen her yet, so it's like I had to go back into the crates of my memory bank to, like, pull her out. But when I went to college, this was a true story. Only told Thea.
There was a girl
named Lizette Figueroa back in Binghamton University that I was a roomie with in freshman year.
Look on Facebook.
You're going to kill me. Oh, my God. But, yo, it was the first time that I met a Puerto Rican chick that was like, nigga, I was like, oh, man, I got to live with you. Wow. Oh, yeah. I was like, yo, that did not work out. But, yo, out of her was born Malta.
Wow.
Malta. You know, it's pronounced like Malta. Like, it's M-A-R-C-A, but it's pronounced like M-A-L-T-A.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yo, she used to try my clothes on when I wasn't around, and I would come home, and I would go to my, you know, I would go to the room, and I'd go to my closet, and there was like sweat stains.
Oh,
like, that was the best.
Yo, that was living off my clothing. That's about it to the 10th power.
For real. Yo, so you know what I had to, in order to, like, recoup from that, I just, like, put on my acting skills and I became an RA, a resident assistant, in Binghamton University so I could have my own room. That was
that was
my only motivation, was that I wouldn't live with another Malta.
Some people just have look on Facebook. We are going to have you on the spot, girl. I'm going to be looking for you, girl. Why you wearing blue hot clothes?
Oh, my God. No, that was like years ago.
She's like,
I'm not going to hate it.
She's probably still holding your clothes and waiting for you to get ready. She's ready for the clothes, and she's going to blow up under my whole house. She's going to be like, no, no, be here. I don't think it's so much.
Nah, man, he had no idea what he was doing about me. He was just like sweat, all over my face, sweat.
Okay, now, that was your hardest.
That was my hardest.
Which was the easiest? The one that just came like that, like, okay, boom.
You know, none of them were easy, actually, but that was the hardest. Don Jose, the bodeguero, who I love dearly, because I based him off of several elders in my life. First off, my grandfather, may he rest in peace, Carlos Rafael Pereira, he was a huge Mets fan. He wasn't a Yankee fan, even though we lived in the Bronx.
Right.
He took me to my first baseball game, and that was for Mets game.
For Mets game.
But I switched it up in the character work, but that was him. He was like, you know, everything was no frills. You know, you buy things cheap, and you eat well like a king. Like, he was very frugal about saving a penny and... I love my grandfather so much, and very much Don Jose embodies his way.
Mm-hmm.
I also based him on my father-in-law because that hat with the radio in it and everything.
Yeah, like he picks up everything, like he picks up the game, and he's walking on to that. You know, like they get the score, and he's like, oh,
that is a real hat. That still works. Yeah, that still works. And that was... based on my father-in-law, may he rest in peace, Vicento Vasquez from Yabucoa, Puerto Rico. So I melded both my grandfather and my father-in-law and created Don Jose. And you
know, he did a Don Jose. He did a Don Jose. He's going to ask you.
Anything. All right. You don't know how you have to read life to be good. Sometimes you swing, you miss. Sometimes you hit and come wrong. Okay? You have to rule it. You have to rule it. Because one day, all of this will be yours.
I'm telling you, listen, yo, we gotta get another DVD. I mean, I've seen it live. I've seen it
live.
But you gotta see it. You gotta see, like,
this is funny. I thought he had the whole shit
on. You gotta see what the whole thing is like. Whole setup going on.
Go to my Facebook, people, please. Go to my Facebook. It's under my real name, Caridad de la Luz. I also have a part that's under La Bruja, but I just put up a clip of my new professional reel, and a lot of that stuff is on there, like 14 years worth of work in 4 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's no joke, but it's like a mismatch of all of it, and I'm really proud of it.
Okay, one last character. I mean, I love it. I wish I could go to all of them, but I'm just happy.
Who do you want? Who do you want to go like a tap? Because honestly, this is the other thing. All you actors out there, you think you're actors. Don't be actors. Channel. It's like a seance. You want your character? Don't act like your character. You have to channel your character. You have to believe in the spirit and tap into the spirit. So stop acting.
Okay.
Become. But anyway.
Become one with the hat. Okay.
Who you like?
Not so much like, but that kind of touched me was the daughter, the Clark Kent, when she went to your daughter. The real daughter, then her daughter in the play.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
Because that Lola character came from the That Lola was from the
She, you know, she's into drugs. You know, she's in the street. The father, the grandparents, the character's parents are taking care of the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she comes and she wants money, of course,
because
she goes through the daughter's heart. Like, you know, like, I love you and all this and all this. You know,
give me $5.
And then sends her to go get her money.
Otherwise,
she's not going to, like, you know, show the affection. You know how many times I've seen that, like, in real life?
Exactly.
Like, in the
And I've seen it in this neighborhood, in Hunts Point. That character was born in Hunts Point. Lola was born in Hunts Point.
And not only her character in the news, but her daughter, her real-life daughter, La Bruja's daughter, and the character, you know, because they're both daughters, right? They're saying the same thing.
Right. Lola.
How she played that role, how she's so young and all that, she stepped right into that. Like, she's been doing that, like, forever.
I got my daughter in Bruja camp. Like, the whole life. Like, you know what I'm saying? Forget about everything else. It's like, you know what? When you come home, this is what the life is. And she knows. And because the sad part is that arts don't exist in our public school system anymore.
Mm.
So the only way that my daughter and my son, because he did all the sound,
I was going to say that.
My son, 12 years old, at the time, 11.
Yes. Yes.
I had him working the booth.
Yes.
Yes. He was. Wow. All sound cues. And it was like, you know what, you really want to know about theater, you really want to know about art, you're going to do it with me. And it was like straight work.
We do we start our kids over?
I'm doing poetry workshop at the Museo del Barrio starting in September. It's called Oh Snap. If you want to learn with me, it's free. Look up Oh Snap in Museo del Barrio. I will be your teacher. You can come every month, and not only will we get writing done, but I'll take you from the page to the stage, because right after we do an open mic series, you want to get your writing on, no matter what age you are, if you're a kid, if you're an adult, waiting, you know, to tap into the poet within you. Come, we'll tell that about you. I am there September 8th.
That's the song.
No joke.
Yes, and we definitely going to be a continuous word on that.
Root camp.
We're definitely going to be spreading the word on that for sure. Okay, one more thing. I'm going to get off the, you know, because I could keep going.
Lola was stuck, though.
Yes.
That was the part of the character.
Can we just do the, like,
Lola.
Here's Lola. I'm going to find out. I'm going there. And don't you dare say it for me. Whatever money you get, it's mine. Got that? And you're going to go with that. Lola asked me for 5 buckaroos. She told me everything that she knew. You should never trust a prostitute. You know, $5, she didn't tell her shit. She was out. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, it's heavy. And it's all intertwined. But Okay, what's the question?
Yes.
Hold on.
Let's bring up because I can keep going with her.
I know.
I'm really late.
Well,
we got Genius, y'all, with Emma E2K and La Bruja. What's up? You've been rocking all night with me. I love it.
Yes, yes. Salute. All I have to say is salute. You like a female version of John Leguizamo. I'm definitely entertained and definitely got to see you perform somewhere.
Thank you. Thank you. John Leguizamo was one of my inspirations, absolutely. But it doesn't end there. You got to hear my music. Go to iTunes and listen to my music. I got Brujalicious on there, and I got my new album, For Witches Stand, on iTunes. Check me out. You know, I'm an artist straight up, like all the way around, but my art goes into activism. I call myself a poetician. I'm not a politician. I'm a poetician, and my creativity is rooted in my community. So,
feel me!
That's definitely what's up. Can you give the people, like, your information if they're trying to work with you or find out more about you so that they can?
Yeah, I'm going to give information out as soon as we are done with everything else. She's definitely going to give out all her info. I'm not going to let her go without that. But let me bring in another caller, 718. You're on with Emma E2K and La Bruja.
Hi, La Bruja. It's La Leona.
Hi, La Leona.
Wow, that's easy. I like that. I like when people know it's a lion and not a freaking tiger, and they don't grrr.
Between that and a cougar, because this is a cougar's lay off of here.
Yes, yes, baby. I go with the cougar, too. I'm hitting 40 real soon, so. I gotta say, she's so small frame, but she's got so much fire in her. I love that. I really love that. But I have to ask, this is my first time on the show, La Bruja, so please, you know, bear with me. What are you doing to reach out to the youth?
Wow. I am a board member for an organization called Voices Unbroken, and we go into the jail, specifically Rikers, and poetry workshop, because since poetry saved my life and self-expression saved my life, I like to go.
Definitely.
I don't go to the jail, I go into the schools. I also do my Latina for Life. If you go to myspace.com, Latina para la Vida, you'll see my mission statement. I go into schools. I go into jails. I go wherever I'm invited that I can speak with youth, and I give them my pointers on writing and finding their voice. You know,
very good, very good.
Absolutely. Well, people saved my life, so why would
yeah.
I share? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's not about the age. It's about your heart.
You missed earlier, she had mentioned that she's what you're doing
at Museo del Barrio. You ever heard of Museo
No, I listened. No, I was listening to that. I'm actually listening to your show. I was on hold, and then I started listening on the computer. I love the fire. I love the fire. I'm doing a workshop for the youth in the Bronx. I'm also from the Bronx. So I'm trying to get people to volunteer their services right now. Hopefully one day we get grants and we can pay people, but right now it's on a volunteer basis.
No,
so I'm going to definitely look you up on Facebook.
Okay. Oh, you can find me on MySpace, myspace.com, La Bruja, LaBruja.
And she answers you back.
I have a MySpace, but I don't know when was the last time I was out there, so I'll definitely hit you up on Facebook.
Twitter me on La Bruja NYC, LaBrujaNYC. Join me on Twitter. I be Twittering everything. I Twitter the coming over year, and everything that I do, I let people know. You know what I'm saying? Yesterday, I shot my first music video for my album, For Witches Stand.
Nice.
And Luis Guzman came by, Cuban Link came by. It was so hot. I mean, and I paid the Piracuero to give Piraguas to everybody in the park, and it was But that's just the tip of the iceberg, Mama. Just stay in touch with me. If you
definitely
got people you want to connect to, like, creating art, you know, I'm your girl.
Definitely, definitely. I'm working with the youth, like I said. It's a workshop. based on hip hop and R&B. So I'm starting it off with like DJ class, video classes. But it's all based on a community center out in the Bronx in the Soundview area. So
that's my hood, mama. Holla at
me. Same here.
You can email me at boybruja@gmail.com. boybruja@gmail.com. And those emails go right to me, and I answer them all.
Thank you, Leona. Stay on hold. I got my last 4 minutes. I'm trying to squeeze everything out of her. So hold on.
All right.
Thank you, Leona.
Just jump and tap into everything.
Okay,
I covered... before the Boogie Weekend, you had a one-woman show prior to that.
It was still Boogie Weekend. It was called Boogie Weekend. Oh, just Boogie Weekend. And then...
But it was you just by yourself.
You had all those characters that you saw, but it was just me, like, empty space. You know what I'm saying? But that's why I wanted to evolve it and take it to the next level. And it was such an honor because I had started writing that before my daughter was born. Then to have it evolve to the point where my daughter is in it.
Yeah.
So at one point, she's my daughter when she's, you know, when I'm Lola.
Mm-hmm.
She's my granddaughter when I'm Bonfait. She's my mama. She's my niece when I'm Maribella.
Mm-hmm.
She's my neighbor when I'm deep. She held it down.
Yes,
she had never taken a class.
She wanted
her mother and family, trust.
Okay, I can't let you go without a phone. I need a phone.
Oh.
Exclusive.
Oh, shit. Okay. I want to share with you this rhyme. This is all off of my For Wicked Fans album. This is the last verse of the title track, For Wicked Fans, because a lot of people say, why La Bruja? Why you call yourself La Bruja? La Bruja means the witch. So you can imagine all, like, religious fanatics are like, oh, my God, she's evil, she's the devil. No. Why La Bruja? Why La Bruja? For Wicked Fans. I wrote my name on an open mic list to spit. It was a lunar eclipse. It was 1996, April 3rd. My spoken word the first time was heard, and I emerged as a New Eurekan poet. I didn't even have a flow yet. Bobby so hosted to see the planets since then. I just had to grow it from the time I was 5 when I learned to recite from my mom, who herself couldn't read or even write. She was my beacon of light. She changed the course of my life. She saw my mom become a wife on Halloween night. So no, I don't stick chickens or do voodoo pin sticking. My mission isn't wicked, superstition or wicked. No Spanish inquisitions. No verbal. Oh, I can't do the rest. But you know what? Go to iTunes. Find the album For Wicked Fans. It's hot. I poured my heart into this album. Who I am. All your answers will be questions. All your questions will be answered.
Support this Latina, and not only Latina, support this woman, mother, you know, out there struggling, you know, still haven't got the recognition, but I guess everybody here today, you know, me and Doc was talking about that as well.
But it's not even about recognition anymore. You know what? Forget about recognition. It's about being true to your passion. You know, at the end of the day, it's your passion. You love what you do. Don't do it because you think you're going to be famous. Don't do it because you think you're going to be rich. Don't do it for none of that bullshit. Do it because you really love it. And at the end of the day, everything comes from that.
And keep it real.
Keep it real.
What
are you tricking? Listen, don't be tricking, all right? Don't be tricking. You put your money and invest. All right, invest in yourself. Stop spending your money on bull.
That's what I blew out, said, man. And with that, we out. Peace. Ugly. See you next Saturday.
Never mind.
not when it costs music. This is 400 horse music. Come through, ride slow like, yeah, this is motherfucking boss music. In the mirage, listening to Nas. Drug dealer's lane with the drug dealer lean. Benny Cobain, flooding on a...